Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is the perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life there's no surrender, and there's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. Be broken. With our final breath, we'll fight to the death. We are soldiers, we are soldiers.
Logic, political talk, part of the growing conservative conversation, and also part of the Patriot Journalist Network. And you can find us at the Patriot Journalist Network by going to www.patriotjournalist.com, and also find us at the Bard's Logic Political Talk website at www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. And if you're listening live now and are a Twitter user, just go to your Twitter and put in there listening to Bard's Logic and put in the link to the show as well as hashtag Operation American Spring and send it out to your Twitter followers so they can listen and join us in as well. And so join us tonight, or this afternoon rather, this is a special edition of Bard's Logic Political Talk here on a Saturday afternoon. And I think we'll be hearing from Colonel Riley today, as well as James Neighbors and Dan Gray. And we may hear from Cindy Todd and Kelly Mordecai as well. But if by Facebook or Twitter or by email or by any other media, please share the word by sharing the link to the show so they can hear what's going on live reports from Operation American Spring in Washington, D.C. And this is from James Neighbors, who's down there. I got this from Facebook, and because of limited space, I used most of what he was able to do, but not all of it. So I'll read this post, and then I believe I have them calling in from D.C., so we'll have them in shortly. And seeing the darkest across our land, you stood up. You spoke out. You braved the unknown, and you showed America what a real patriot does when their nation needs her patriots the most. Together we can bring truth and justice back to America. Together we can make the masses stir the sleeping giant, give the silent majority the will to speak out against those who would destroy the great American way of life. While Operation American Spring is happening, it is of the utmost importance you are out in the public eye telling your fellow Americans that American Spring is happening in Washington, D.C. In doing so, you will do two things that are valuable beyond words. You will spread the word of this protest where we, the people, stood together in mass numbers and in a collective voice, screamed, enough. Our nation has been stuck in a grievous injury, and it threatens her very existence. That injury has been brought on by our own complacency, because life in America has been very, very good for an extraordinary long amount of time. Those days are over, but we can reclaim them. We will reclaim them. But we cannot waver, we cannot hesitate, and we cannot doubt. And we cannot allow ourselves to become divided over petty issues. You can do your part. You can be a hero to your children, on all those that you know, or hear of you in the years to come. Now is the time that the new generation of heroes to rise up, and you can be the new generation of heroes. And the future will look back at the deeds done in this time and see the inspiration and hope in their time. And so at this, I will open up the mic. Thank you very much for calling to the show. How are you?
Hi, who are you saying hi to?
Well, this is Dan. Is Dan and James?
Oh, yes,
and
it's me.
Curtis Riley all there?
I just passed the word along to security, and the colonel, he must be exhausted. He's in his 70s, and his pace would have gone to the 20-year-old man. So I'm pretty sure he has the word. We did discuss it this morning, and we also agreed that if anything came up, James and I were both here, so we're fully able to report what's going on the ground, and it's a good start, but we need a lot of work and a lot of people to make this what it's supposed to be.
You know, I've been, you know, looking at some reports, of course, you know, you have your liberal media that are, you know, have what they need to say. And, of course, let's go ahead and address what's going to be out there as well so we can just get rid of that. And because of the weather, it sounds like some of the turnout haven't been as what's wished for. But, of course, with all the rain and problems that some of the camps have been flooded out down there, tell us more about that.
Well, I read some of the reports, and they were kind of funny, actually. It gave me a laugh that nobody ever promised 30 million people. We were hoping for 10 million people, and I think we're going to have that, but it doesn't start big. In fact, most big things only happen in this America when you've got a big stage and a sound system and a video screen and some big stars, and people come, and they get entertained, and they already have those views, and then they go home, and nothing really happens. Operation American Spring is a human petition, since the people who run our government refuse to follow the Constitution, refuse to follow the law. We're going to follow the law, and we insist that they follow it. They ignore our petition, so we're here in person. The numbers have been pretty good, but they are nowhere near what we need them to be. And a lot of people said, well, it's over. They said it was over yesterday because yesterday was the first day. Well, now it's the second day, and we have thousands again. This week, I'm guaranteed by the Rolling Thunder, which is the motorcycle group, that there is going to be a significant number of people in support of OAS because it's an ongoing event. And this Thursday, between 750,000 and 1 million additional people, what I want to let everybody know, see, some people are more than a day's trip away. Bob, I know you're in Ohio, and that's a bit of a jaunt. And there's people in Michigan, and we have some here. We have every state represented, including Alaska. And that's really saying something. But not everybody can take off from work, or they may have health concerns or family concerns. What we're asking primarily is that people who are within a day's drive and who get a couple of days off a week and maybe have a job so that they can afford a little gas, take a day trip down here. Bring on your day off. Bring the family. Bring the kids. Spend a few hours meeting your friends who feel the same way you do. Learn some things. Show your dissatisfaction with the state of affairs in our government. And then take in a museum or have a nice meal. And when you leave, you'll be home before your normal bedtime. This is not a one-day event. This is not a big star event. We have lots of speakers because guess what? Anybody who has a coherent message in favor of the Constitution has been speaking. Anyone who doesn't use obscenities and curse words and call for violence is speaking. Because 98, I hate to use percentages, it sounds like some kind of a soundbite from the progressive media, but the vast majority, with almost no exceptions, of the people who have been in attendance are clean, peaceful, law-abiding people. I penned a little piece that we wrote to a letter to the law enforcement authorities here, the two federal and one local law enforcement authorities. We not only asked them to tell us if they have any problems, but we committed ourselves to obey the law. In fact, this is like Occupy, but without the unsavory aspects that unfortunately happened during that. We want our government back, but if I see somebody breaking a window or assaulting a person or doing something unspeakable on a police car, you all know what I'm talking about, I'll report them myself. I really don't care. You have your freedom, but you don't have the freedom to do wrong things that nobody is going to disagree and say are right. So there's a couple of in every group who want to show up. We have a homeless fellow this morning who obviously has a substance abuse problem, and had a nice talk with him, and he's fine, but he's not part of our group. But we have white people and black people, and we have young people and old people. We have a lot of veterans, and we have people who never served. We have awesome security, volunteer security, that is coordinated and careful and not armed. And they've been coordinating with the local authorities, and we've had the most minor of events, which where it was handled before most anyone even knew about it, but you're going to have at any event. What I really expect to see happening with the Operation American Spring is an ongoing and growing presence here in D.C. It's ignored totally by the mainstream press. A lot of the alternative media is paying close attention and trying to draw conclusions before there's any conclusions to be drawn. We did have a little bit of a difficult start. We had a torrential downpour overnight, which flooded out several campgrounds, and it was cold, and it was like really cold and wet. We came out anyway. We were here. And the people started to filter in, and the sun broke through, which was nice, and as soon as it dried everything out, it hit near 90. This is Washington, D.C.
Wow.
And so most of us
the
are pretty baked after that. And there's a lot of people who are tired, but not everybody is staying for the duration because they can't afford to. So we're going to have to take turns and replace each other. The other important aspect to consider is this, as far as groups that are supporting OAS and what OAS supports. If you're in favor of the Constitution, and if you're against criminal violations of our Constitution by the elites, because that's what it is, it's a crime, and if you're committed to seeing America's liberty restored so that we can get about restoring our prosperity, then we support you. And we would hope that you would support us. And no, our issue is not more important than the issue that touches your own particular heart out there. Whoever you are, whatever your issue, whatever your problem with large federal government or large state government or large local government, whether it's taxes or business regulations, whether it's First Amendment, Second Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Ninth Amendment, Tenth Amendment, enumerated powers, pro-life, you name it, Common Core, we're with you. That's a constitutional matter. And what we're urging you to do is this is a general support group that deals with a specific matter, which is simply the Constitution of the United States must be adhered to. You're also working for that, so we're in favor of what you're doing. And we ask that you double your efforts, redouble your efforts. And if you're already maxed out, if you can't possibly do any more, given your health, the state of your energy, how much you've got to give, your level of expertise or talent or your finances, any of your family concerns, your job concerns, it's understandable. You're already a leader because you went first. Now what you need to do is develop 2 to 10 other people who can then be leaders and bring in more people. This is a crucial time. America has not got much time left where we can do this peacefully, where we can avoid the fate that has befallen every single country anywhere in the world, no matter what they call this political system. When government got too powerful, it got tyrannical. And we've seen elements of that occurring already. If we want to avoid that, if we want to save America for ourselves and, more importantly, for our children, then this is the time to step up. If you can make our rally, great. I'm having a rally in Monday in Pennsylvania, in Harrisburg, in support of OAS, and to get out the vote. Not for specific candidates, but we are going to mention every candidate who has already taken that oath and proven that they are going to violate it by their own votes and their own actions, and urge you not to vote for them, not because of their party, not because of their personality, not even because of we like them or not, but because they didn't keep their word. And there's plenty of decent people out there who we need to give a try to see if they'll keep their word. And if they don't, they need to go. There are rallies going on in New York State that I'm aware of, and in New Jersey, I believe in Ohio. I'm only familiar with the rough local area, but I have been told that there are rallies going on in support of the same general concept, where it's not an OAS-sponsored rally. We're not in charge of them. We're not organizing them or telling them what to do. But because there is a commonality of effort, a commonality of purpose, we're supporting them, and they're mentioning us, and they're doing roughly the same thing, which is getting out there and attracting others. You know, two things have happened while I was here that gave me tremendous hope. The majority of the group yesterday, some thousands, went for a march. They marched to the White House, and it was pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. And I agreed that I would do what I... Yeah, I'll finish. You can give someone else a turn in a minute. You know how I am.
Well, sure, and I do have James on the line as well, but go ahead.
All right, I'll finish up so that James can come on. I agreed to do what was required and necessary, and it doesn't matter if I'm taking a lead role or an entirely support role, because if it's got to get done and nobody else is there to do it, I guess it's my job to do it. So I agreed to hold the fort at the Washington Monument while they marched on the White House. And while I was there, it was good, because people kept trickling in their twos and tens and fifties, saying, you know, where is the people? And I'd say, well, they're here at this point, and they're going to be here next, and they'll be coming back. Some went to join them. Some stayed with me. Our group grew. But even more important than that, and a lot of tourists were asking me questions, well, what's this about? And they're in support, and they're thanking us. They're taking literature. They're actually joining in. They just came here for the day to sightsee, and they're thinking, this is great. That's exactly what we're thinking. But there are a lot of school children. Yesterday was a school day, who come to visit our nation's great monuments that are to America's greatness. And I'm standing with a whole bunch of veterans from World War II and Korea and Vietnam and Iraq and Iran, not Iran, God forbid, and Afghanistan, and these little school children, beautiful little boys and girls, all colors, from all different places, are coming up to us and saying, excuse me, sir, I'd like to shake your hand and say thank you. And I'll admit that more than one tear fell. So over to you, Bob.
Wow. And we definitely like to hear, you know, I'm sure we'd like to hear from folks who are actually there in the crowd and get their thoughts and feelings as well about what's going on there, why they're there, things of that nature. But at this time, I'm going to go ahead and bring James in. And, of course, your mic will be open still as well, Dan. Thank you very much, James, for coming to the show. How are you?
Oh, just exhausted, Robert. Doing all right. You?
I'm doing really well for this special edition of Bart's Logic. It's good to have you guys on. Yeah, here all the folks back. Is this on Dan? You'd like to hear from some folks out there with you guys as well. So how are things going on your end, James?
Well, they're going pretty good. We're actually posted up just down the mall from the main crowd to kind of direct people there. Down to where everybody is, and you know, got a bunch of signs and banners and whatnot out here, and just all sorts of people stopping and asking questions. Why, and what has he done? And, which is exactly why we're here, to answer those questions. And we had quite a few people, just didn't even know anything about so many of the things, Benghazi and Extortion 17 in Fast and Furious, and so, you know, why don't you like Obamacare? You know, and when you know, the looks in their in most of their eyes, whatever you tell them, that is just, they're just shocked. They're just shocked. They didn't even know. And so, you know, we're reaching a lot of people out here, and it's going to spread out across the country because, you know, Washington, D.C. is a big, big tourist city, and that's mostly who we're talking to are tourists that are not from here.
Okay, go ahead, Dan. I'm typing to some folks.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm about a block away at the Washington Monument, and we've got people down the mall in a couple of different locations getting in the shade because it's hot here and they've been out a lot all day. And I'm looking at people not only from all across America, but I see the clothing styles and listen to the accents. This is a world tourist mecca, and it's not just because there's some great museums and some really neat things to see. It's because of the meaning of what these monuments stand for. I hear something in the background. I'm not sure if someone's talking.
Yeah, I've got a crowd of people around us right now. I've got some more.
Oh, yeah, we're
going to
get that.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, usually I'm on a headset with a microphone in my little attic studio or whatever you want to call it. I'm sitting here with a dumb phone in the middle of a crowded area with people passing all over. Right now I can see easily maybe 1,000, 1,500 people walking. And James's group is doing a tremendous job because it's such a simple concept of grabbing people's attention. There have been people who brought signs here and handmade signs and some professional-looking ones and flags, but James's signs, the Overpass for America signs, they grab your eye and make you ask questions. And the people, when I went up to his group, it was nonstop. Everybody was coming up. You wouldn't see 20 people passing without 5 or 10 people stopping and at least reading it, and at least 2 to 5 are asking questions and staying and asking more, and then taking maybe some literature from somebody else who's here. We have a whole lot of allied groups, people who have just chosen to come here to share their own personal concerns. I met Charlie Strange just recently. For those who aren't familiar, his son Michael Strange was the leader of SEAL Team 6. Charlie's from my hometown, Philadelphia, PA. And he rode his bike down with a young friend of mine, Justin Emmerich, who's a really awesome young patriot from Sons of Liberty Bikers, and running for his first political office as a Republican committeeman in his own home area of Horsham. But Mr. Strange's son was part of a SEAL team that was set up. And this has been proven. He's the one, if you guys have heard about the news, the NSA lawsuit about a month ago where the federal government lost because the NSA was performing illegal spying. They were spying on the father of a fallen soldier whose only offense was to ask questions about how his son and his son's SEAL team died. And the SEALs are the most able warriors in the world. You cannot defeat them on the ground without paying a tremendous cost, if you can even do it. So they were sent up in a helicopter into a danger zone where intelligence proved that there was Taliban missing, waiting to take down SEAL Team 6. And they were allowed to go into there and ordered to go into there, and it was shot down and they all died. And you might remember who SEAL Team 6 is and what they accomplished and what killing them effectively silences, because most of the SEAL missions are things that they never get to talk about. And we've heard quite a lot of talk about what the SEALs had done and that certain occupants of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue have chosen to take credit for this man who, you know what, I'm not even going to start getting into Mr. Obama's his bad habits, his callous disconcern, his poor policy. That's all fine and good. Anyone can disagree with the president. I'm 53, and there hasn't been a president, and I don't expect there ever to be a president that I would agree with 100% on all issues. That's a debate. But when you commit acts that are clearly illegal, that clearly abrogate the Constitution, those are impeachable acts. And that's one thing we want to see. OAS has officially delivered petitions, and we are a living petition, and we're not asking for Mr. Obama alone, because we want him to resign or be impeached. However, he's not the only one, and it's not the only the Democrats, and we don't care what color he is. John Boehner is a white man, and he's in charge of the House, and Nancy Pelosi is a white woman, and she's in charge of the minority section of the House. We want them gone. We want them to resign. The same thing with McConnell and Reid in the Senate. We want them gone. We want them to resign. If not, we want to see them removed from office in legal manner, and we want to see the next in line under ordinary legal succession to take that office, knowing that we're watching and that we'll do the same if they don't obey the law. These people in this town and in the state capitals and in some of your local municipalities, they make laws that they don't follow. They don't have to, but we do. These people take an oath, and they know what it means. It's a simple oath. There are tens of millions of Americans who have taken the oath at one time or another in their life to support, uphold, and defend the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and they know what that means, and there is no debate. And if you take an oath and you break that oath, you're an oath breaker. If that oath is law, you're a lawbreaker. And if you are receiving financial or other considerations in return for misrepresentation, if you lie to get money or power or position, that's fraud, and that's a criminal act. You cannot prosecute government officials who are elected at those high levels under the laws that they wrote and the rules that they wrote while they're in office. If these people agree to be removed from office, or if they don't agree and get removed from office, I want a thorough investigation, and the facts will determine whether or not they should be prosecuted. If prosecuted, I want to see fair trial, swift, speedy, and due process entailed. And then, assuming any of them are convicted, I want to see appropriate penalties levied under law. We are about the law. We are not about anarchy. We are not about changing the law. We are not about changing America. They have changed America by ignoring the Constitution and giving it lip service. This has gone on too long. America is too close to the brink. This cannot continue, not for another month. We don't have another month. Not for another year. We don't have another year. So we need to step up now. And I'm calling on everyone out there to take action. If you can join us in D.C., do so. Make your plans. Come down for as long as you can, when you can. If you can't join us in D.C., go to your local events. Or get involved in any patriot activity, any liberty activity that's local for you, that resonates in your heart, and push for it. There are so many elections that are going on at the local level. Every one of those matters. There are so many issues. You can do like overpasses does, and you know, four people can reach 10,000 standing on an overpass as they drive by in an experience they'll never forget. You can write letters and send emails, and you can visit and call your legislatures and lobby them. You can be involved in getting people elected. You can go to rallies. You can donate money if you've got that. You can donate your time. There's no end to what activities you can do, and you'll have to find the one that you're capable of doing. And for those of us out there, and there are some, I'm not going to be hard on them, people who are just completely incapable of adding anything to the effort right now because of the efforts and the trouble that are in their life. There are people who are hurting really, really bad. They're too sick. They're too poor. They don't have anything that they can give. Sir or ma'am, I pray for you. Pray for us. Pray for America. We need that.
And James, you need to chime in. While doing so, Dan, if there's some folks around you who would like to come on and tell us about their thoughts about the
Karen,
events down
on the
there
radio?
And going on with the country, that'd be great.
Yeah, I got a lady right here.
Okay.
Yeah, her name is Karen Drum. She is a patriot from the Philadelphia area in Pennsylvania. She is a motorcycle rider and a beautiful lady, and just everyone knows her. We all love her, and here she is.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello.
How are you? Thank you very much for coming on to the show.
Oh, thank you.
Being down there in D.C.
Yes, it's a gorgeous day here.
To tell us, what's the main reason why you're down there? Or
why
whichever
I'm here.
You're coming from. You're coming from Pennsylvania, so I guess it's up and over,
yes.
Down and over a little bit.
I am here because I want to try to help save the country that I've grown up in and that I've come to love for my son and his family and my granddaughter. I feel it's now or never that we fight to keep the freedoms and the liberties that I've known to enjoy, and I want her, my son, and my granddaughter and his family to be able to enjoy the same thing in the future.
So I remember just this morning, my daughter goes to me, and she's 12, and she's not as much into politics as I am, and even at her age, which I'm hoping that changes as she gets older. But I think the real reason is she takes a lot of my time up and away from her. But she just said this morning, she's like, you know, Dad, how many years have we had Obama now? I said, 6 years, honey. She said, oh, we got 2 more years to go.
I study our Constitution.
You know, like 12-year-old daughters, you know, feeling where she's like, oh, my gosh, we got two, you know, hopefully we don't have two more years, but with her, you know, knowing that, you know, it'd be another 4 years, like, oh, my gosh, not another 2 years of this guy. You know, and this is someone who's not even as, you know, she's 12, she doesn't follow politics as much as I'd like she would.
Right,
but
even she knows there's something wrong.
Yeah. Most certainly.
We need people down here. I know Dan has expressed the same thing, but we need patriots. We need everyone to possibly can get down here to OAS to come
it's
down here and take a stand.
You mentioned something about the overpass?
What's that?
Oh, I'm sorry, man. I thought you mentioned something about the overpasses. Overpasses for America with James.
Oh, they do a great job. They do a great job.
Yeah.
We do have James on the line. Have you had the opportunity to meet James? Or you want something to come? James, are you still out there? I see you.
Yeah,
I'm still here.
We've got a group of people that's gathered around asking questions, and you know they're not here with us. They just saw us out here and wanted to know exactly why we're here. And we've got another group walking up on us right now, and you know we probably had a good three. I mean,
just in the last hour,
I mean, a few hundred pictures taken of us, you know, and about everything we're doing, people walking by and waving, it's bringing a lot of questions to people's minds, and that's really what we need to be doing to everybody that's not participating. We need to get them to ask the right questions, you know, and because if they ask the right questions, they'll find the answers, and when they find the answers, they're not going to be very pleased with what they find out. And that's what we've got to get everybody around this country to do, and really everybody around the world. Ask questions. Don't just accept the status quo because that's what you're told, you know, is the right thing. You know, question it. If it is the right thing, then go along with it. But, you know, we're bringing those questions to people out here. And, you know, this is one of the busiest tourist cities in the entire world. People from all around the world. Are out here and they're seeing this and they're gonna when they go home, wherever they're from, they're going to take what they saw here with them, you know, from the incredible monuments to those people out protesting. And, it's something that they'll take with them, and they'll communicate that to the people around them. And that's really what we need to do. America needs to get back involved. And, with what, people that live here need to get involved, because it's their faith that they're talking about. It's not just something that we don't like. We're talking about criminal activity coming from our government. And like Dan was saying earlier, it's not just Obama. It really isn't. He may be the poster child of the problem, but he's not the entire problem. It would be nice if he were the only problem, because we could just have to get him out of office and take care of things. And, but he's not. We've got a systematic illness in our government, from a federal level down to local level, we've got to get taken care of. If you don't start at the top, your effectiveness is limited.
James is absolutely right.
Real quick, Dan, speaking of that, I see folks here in the chat and listening elsewhere. If you'd like to chime in or speak with either Dan or James, give us a call here at 347-945-7428. Again, it's 347-945-7428 if you'd like to chime in or tell us your thoughts about Operation American Spring, what's going on there in D.C. Maybe give your well wishes to the folks down there and things that you may be able to do in your locality. So go ahead, Dan.
Well, in terms of numbers, in Pennsylvania, we've had rallies. Some of them, they generally number in the hundreds. Sometimes we hit 1,000. That's for a state. But every rally I've been going to, there's more people than the one before. This is a growing wave of discontent and a growing wave of conviction that we need to see some convictions. We need to see things change in this country, and these criminals, and you know what? We're not just talking about our Constitution. Many of these people are criminals. They commit crimes against regular laws. They steal from us.
On a radio show right here.
Yeah, every day in the press you see another elected official has been indicted for influence peddling, for tax evasion, for fraud, for worse crimes.
Hey girl, how are you?
And this has been going on for far too long.
I'm in the middle of a radio show right now, but stick
around
for a little
bit. Here in D.C., the maximum rally, there's people who said we're going to have 30 million. I'm intimately involved with the press relations of OAS. I'm on the staff there. There have been no claims that we would ever have 30 million. There's never been 30 million in D.C. There's never been 10 million. The largest events in D.C. that I'm aware of hit a million two, and generally were one-day events with a whole bunch of stars, kind of like a rock concert. People like to be entertained. This is an entertainment of a different sort because we're providing our own entertainment, so to speak. I'm reaching out and meeting people in the Liberty Movement from all walks of life in all parts of the country who all have stories to tell about their local municipalities and their particular concerns. As I say, the issues that touch their hearts. And if I'm a little broken up here, it's because I'm trying to walk in traffic across the street while I'm talking. But we are going to grow and be a continuing presence. We're a thorn in the side. What I'm expecting is the mainstream media will continue to ignore us unless there's any sort of unfortunate incident, which can always happen in groups of any size, which hasn't happened so far, and I don't anticipate. The alternate media is torn between those who support the general concept and those who, for some reason, seem to think that this is going to end in a declaration of martial law or some kind of massacre. I really don't know where they're getting that from, because it's never happened. And I don't see how they would ever be able to get away with that. I would remind people who have those fears, sorry for that bus noise there, that there are a lot of people who are not here today because of other concerns who are at home, and they're friends of mine. And every one of them is paying very close attention to what's happening here today, And every one of them is somebody who you really don't want to mess with. They're nice, peaceful people, but they're really not people that you want to convince that there's no peaceful means of resolving our problems. Because if there's no peaceful means, as I've mentioned before, Pennsylvania alone has more deer hunters than the entire armed federal establishment, including active duty military personnel around the world. And that's just my home state. And we don't want anything like that. We hate the idea. And it's never going to happen. Unless, of course, the federal government decides they want to lose. So that's the one aspect. The other is that numbers somehow matter. What matters is public perception. And I would remind people that most events that start off with a large number, people come and they go home, and they're hard to manage. This is a learning experience. We have a lot of people who have experience with rallies of varying sizes and with political activities, but nobody's ever done this in quite this way. And quite frankly, we're probably making some mistakes, and we're trying to learn as quickly as possible and keep those mistakes from occurring a second time and make sure that when they do occur, they're no great, terrible tragedies. They're just, we don't want to do that again because it really didn't help. Maybe we should take a march. Maybe we shouldn't take a march. There are all kinds of concerns about tactics that, are legitimate. However, what you're going to see in the future is an increase in the amount of alternative media coming on our side. Glenn Beck yesterday, which is just, I love the guy. I mean, he's a bit clownish, as he says himself, but he has exposed more truth than just about anybody else who is a major media player. I'm not saying he's mainstream media, but he's a pretty big guy, all right? He's also something which is really, really important, which is that we shouldn't take his word for it. We should check it out ourselves. And I'm grateful to him for that because that is our responsibility. I tell people that, look, just because I'm believable, a lot of people seem to think so, doesn't mean I only get to check me. I could make mistakes. What's more, I'm not going to have a good reputation that I've earned or keep a good reputation if I keep making mistakes or if I make deliberate misstatements. So by checking me out, you'll know you can trust me. So this is what's going to happen with the alternate media. They're going to come to our side. Beck said some things about American Spring yesterday. I don't know where he got the information that somehow this
Thank
was
you.
Insurrection. Give it to James in a minute to explain why.
You bet. Thank you.
And then what's going to happen is the mainstream media is going to have to start paying attention. And they're
going
to say the worst possible things. There's going to be a huge amount of people, and they'll go four blocks away and find the two people in the group that they possibly can, film them, say it's the whole thing, and get them saying something about UFOs or a conspiracy theory. For all you UFO buffs out there, I'm not saying it's not true. I honestly don't know about it, and really it's not the point as far as I see it anyway. But it's not about the mainstream media because they don't tell the truth, and no one believes them. You look at the numbers on your show, Bob, and they're increasing every week. And I happen to know that many of the people who are your listeners are not just regular listeners. They're regular listeners who are leaders, who have groups of their own, who pay very close attention to detail, who have a good grounding in the actual factual basis of what's going on, and know what it means, which means that your impact is even wider than just the people listening to your show live. Then you have things like MSLSD. Sorry, I shouldn't say that, but, they're not really very truthful, and sometimes I wonder if they are on drugs. And other media sources, even supposedly trusted media sources, that basically fall down on the job all the time, and their numbers are reflecting it. People are not paying attention to them. Just a couple of blocks from here, the Heritage Foundation has its headquarters, and this is recent, just last week. Heritage Foundation is sponsoring and the building a brand new news network, and this is not going to be red meat. Sorry, folks, for those of you who want to be preached too, because you're part of the choir, you're already on the side of liberty, and there's no need for that. What there is need for is to wake people who don't know what's going on and to find those people who are wavering on the fence and show them the facts, not even try to convince them. This is going to be straight news coming from Heritage, not biased news. If there's any opinion at all, it's going to be so clearly labeled that no one could possibly confuse it with news. And they're going to report the good, the bad, and the ugly. When somebody who you think is an enemy on the other side does something right, it'll get reported. When somebody who you think is on our side does something wrong, it'll get reported. And that's the way we need to do it. We need to have integrity. The rules of politics, the rules of public relations, they're immutable. They work the same for any group, no matter whether that group is the Nazis or the Communist Party, or whether it's Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, Green Party, or anybody else. That's how it works. It works for single-issue groups. However, we have something on our side that the other side cannot match without doing themselves in. We tell the truth. And as long as we continue to tell the truth and refuse to be silent, we start reaching people because they begin to see in their own lives the effect of all these corrosive policies and criminal activity. They know that inflation is worse, even though they say from the federal government it's not worse, because they've got to buy gas and they've got to buy food, things that aren't counted in the inflation index. They know that even though the unemployment rate, and I'll remind our listeners that I work in an unemployment office,
unemployment rate
is supposedly down to 6.3. There's not a person I know or know of who doesn't have a family member who cannot find a job or can't find better than a part-time job or can't find a salary that their experience commands. So, you know, where we're at, folks, is actually gratitude. Gratitude toward Barack Obama. Gratitude toward Boehner and Reid and Pelosi and McConnell. Gratitude toward Eric Holder. Gratitude in my own state to Kathleen Kane, our Attorney General, who where we have impeachment proceedings going on right now, their hearings. And I'm grateful to them because they've made things so uncomfortable and so just divorced from truth that even people who are not ordinarily interested in, who don't want to talk about politics, who don't want to think about politics, now they're realizing that this is life and death. This is affecting their paycheck, or if they even have one. This is affecting their health care, if they even have it. This is affecting their ability to speak freely.
Give me just a minute.
Freely. To associate freely. And the examples that are coming out, even in the mainstream press, every day are more numerous and more egregious in impact. They're from local level all the way up through the feds. We're seeing wholesale usurpation of authority and rule of law being destroyed in favor of thuggery, bestiality, and I don't mean it in a sexual sense, being beastly to each other. People choosing to shoot grandma when they serve a warrant on the wrong place, to shoot a family pet in front of the children.
Where
people
are you
choosing to tase somebody who's already surrendered and handcuffed and sitting quietly.
Like another
people choosing,
and
these are people in our government. They're just as frail and weak as the rest of us. They have no authority to make judgments about us and not obey the rules that they insist we follow because they are no better than us. They are no different than us. With one difference, those in charge want power, and those who are enforcing these rules like their jobs. Well, I would remind you at what cost keeping a job like that or obeying illegal orders has. Not only the risk of criminal prosecution or somebody fighting back against you, not only the social shunning that you're going to have, because nobody will want to have anything to do with you, not even your own family. And this is somewhat religious.
And a couple of things, two things. One is Harriet, our friend Harriet, all of us know who she is. She sent me a message.
It was unacceptable.
A lot of things she's talking
about. I'm only following orders when you're ordered to do something terrible. right now, most government employees are not ordered to do anything terrible, thank goodness. How many of you will follow that order? If you do, realize that there will be consequences, consequences that are not remote, that are not remedial, consequences that are permanent and painful just as much for you as for us. Do not audit somebody in the if you're in the IRS simply because your boss doesn't like their political or religious view. Do not surveil somebody simply because they're saying that they want the law enforced. Do not attack somebody. Look at Bunkerville and the Bundy Ranch. And I'm not saying the guy is right or wrong. What I'm saying is he's a rancher with a small family, a small businessman, a fellow who had been in court for 20 years, paying his grazing fees to the county instead of to the federal government. So he's paying. He's not paying to the right place, according to them. And instead of serving a writ with a couple of guys, instead of putting a lien on his property to appropriate legal remedies, even if I think he's in the right, there's nothing wrong with a government entity doing those things. He can take it up in court, continue his court battle. Instead, they send a small army. Now, I can't stand against a small army. There are those people who say,
maybe
I can't stand against 300 men. I can't stand against snipers. I can't stand against helicopters and tanks, not by myself. And quite frankly, folks, neither can you. On the other hand, as I remind you, we do outnumber them. And if you don't want to come to that violence that was threatened for this event, which is totally bogus, never happened and never will, if you don't want to see the terrible casualties of civil insurrection, if you don't want to see the tyranny of a government gone amok, as every government that's gone down this path has, there is only one solution, which is get off your behinds, open up your eyes and ears, start working. There is no permanent solution to this. No matter what we do, it will get bad again. It's a fact. It's always going to be that way. Our founders recognized it. But the only solution right now is to push them back, take our government back, and once we do that, we'll have some breathing room. We'll have the opportunity to debate all those issues that we may not completely agree on. There's room for disagreement. I don't have all the answers to every single issue. Nobody does. I don't know every single part on every single issue. Nobody does. On the other hand, if this government continues on its path, in a very short time, there will be no debate. There will simply be a decision in a small closed room with one person or a small group of people who decide what is best for everyone based on their interests, not on our interests, and with none of us having a single say in any part of that issue. And I'm out of breath, so please put someone else on.
That's fine. There's a couple of things, Dan. Harriet was, I know it's noise in the background there, and that's great because the crowd is. Harriet brought to my attention that a lot of folks. There's a lot of folks on Facebook who are just now first hearing about Operation American Spring. They'd like to hear more information about what its purpose is and things of that nature. James, if you can talk about that as well as the folks that you have on there. Go ahead, James.
Right. Hello, Robert. Was that you?
Yes, it was. I was just telling folks that,
okay.
You know,
well, let me
did you hear what I said about with Harriet?
Harriet
sent us a message.
I have that.
Okay.
Are you there, James?
I am here.
Can you hear me, James?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Did you hear what I said with Harriet?
You hear the carousel going in the background. While I've been speaking, we've been walking down the mall. I'll tell you one thing. This has nothing to do just with the American Spring or my vehement protests against tyranny and all the rest of that stuff. We are a great bunch of people here in America. The people I'm looking at are having a good time, enjoying a wonderful spring day after a long, hard winter, and they're in, this is America, folks. There's absolutely no country, no ethnicity, no race, no religion, no gender. I think there's only two, but I'm not sure these days. That's not represented here. And we're all getting along just great without any government rules. The only government official...
Sounds like it's breaking up a little bit there for Dan. How about you, James?
Yeah, that's what it sounded like to me, too. It's just everything went dead there for a second.
Okay, yeah, and I was just telling folks that Harriet said a lot of the folks she's talking to haven't heard a lot about American Spring. So two things. One is if you could, you know, after you have some, I know it sounds like you have some folks back there who would like to talk in, but also tell them what the purpose of Operation American Spring is as well. So go ahead, James, and then you know bring these folks in. You've got, and we'll go from there. Go ahead.
Yeah, you were cutting out there a little bit. Did you say tell them what Operation American Spring, what it's for?
Yeah, some folks don't, you know, are new and haven't heard a lot of a lot about it. So we'll tell about what its purpose is. As well, and then I heard you talk to some folks behind you, and if they want to come on, let's bring them on as well.
Well, I mean, you know, the purpose is just to bring, you know, to get, you know, we're trying to get Obama to, you know, remove from office, you know, resigned or removed or whatever, along with, you know, his cronies. And that's not just Democrats, that's Republicans as well. I mean, John Boehner might as well be his lapdog, you know, and Harry Reid is obviously a criminal. And Nancy Pelosi, you know, I mean, you know, read it before you sign it. You can't read it before you sign it. I mean, who would even buy that? But yet he subjected the entire nation to a law on that premise. And, you know, it's what we're trying to do, is to either get them to resign and, you know, do the honorable thing for the first time in a long time in their careers, or, you know, or to get the rest of Congress to remove them from office. And, you know, the way you do that is to put pressure on the will of the people. A lot of people these days feel marginalized, feel like they have no voice. And alone, there may be some truth to that. But when people stand together, that's a whole different ballgame, and you exponentiate your strength. And you know, and that's what the goal is here. You know, with the thousands of people that have been here, and then, you know, getting people to ask questions and spread that strength out even farther across the country. You know, but we, you know, we do need anybody that could possibly get here to show up. It's just a necessity. And,
yeah, I'll tell you what, James. I just passed the overpass a couple blocks ago. You're hearing bongo drums from a street performer. It's pretty darn good. I'm not sure where my cell phone cut off, but I'll tell you, this is just awesome. The people out here are so wonderful. Seeing every age, every size, every ethnicity, every national origin, every religion. This Americans are amazing. And you know what? You won't see this anywhere else in the world. And the only government presence that I see are park police, a few guys on bicycles. I think I saw a guy on a horseback recently. There's very few. Here we have tens of thousands of people out on the mall. Thousands of them are here for American Spring. And they're just getting along. We're taking our turn. We're crossing the street on the crosswalk. There's no violence. There's no theft. There's no anything. Everyone's behaving themselves because they want to. And where else in the world will you see so many decent people of all these backgrounds behaving themselves? And guess what? We share a culture. I do see some people in ethnic garb occasionally, but for the most part, you know, one set of clothes fits the next guy, too. Everybody's pretty much dressed weekend casual. I did see a guy in a suit, and he must be very uncomfortable in his heat. so, folks, literally, this isn't a chore. This is not a difficult thing. This is not a painful thing. It's not Valley Forge, for God's sakes, where you're going to freeze and starve and catch diseases like our troops did, you know, over the winter of 1777. This is America, and this is fun. I'm having a great time down here, and I wish you would come and join me. I won't be able to stay the whole duration myself because I got a job and a family, but I'll be
I'm going to pass it.
You start a set.
I'm going back to Philly and Pennsylvania area, and then I'll be coming back down here. And, James, I think you have someone to go on.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, hold on just a moment. I'll hand off the handset
awesome.
To him.
Awesome.
There you go. Go ahead.
I'm just waiting for James. He's got somebody good there who wants to speak.
Yeah,
hello.
Yeah, here.
How are you doing today?
Hello,
can you hear
James?
Me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
You guys are
yes,
talking over each other.
Okay, I'm here. I don't even know where I'm on. I was just handed the headphones.
We can hear you.
Well, welcome to the show. Thank you for being a part of Operation American Spring.
Oh, no problem. I'm with Overpasses for America, one of the national admins and also the Illinois state leader. We got in here Thursday night. We've been down here for 2 days. We haven't been doing the marches. We've been on the corner of 14th Street and the mall right across from the Washington Monument, and we've just been educating the masses who are pretty much, they don't know anything.
Tell us your name.
She's one of our very good friends here on the show, here at Bard's Logic. And when you get home, check us out by going to www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. That's the show's website. But Harry was telling us that, you know, a lot of folks she talked with, you know, weren't as aware or knew a lot about Operation American Spring. And we could talk more about its purpose a little bit later here on the show. We want to be able to address that for Harriet and the people she's brought in. So go ahead. And your name again, sir? Where are you from?
My name is Fred Schneider, and I'm the national admin for Overpasses for America. We came in from Chicago.
Oh, wow. Okay. Great.
We came in with 12 people. We've been down here on the mall for 2 days. I wish things were being handled differently, but they're not. We're not in charge of that, so we're in charge of what we're doing.
And I want to just let you know, I've been walking this whole time. That's why I'm out of breath, and you've been hearing all those crowd noises.
I've been sitting
and,
today.
Well, no problem.
I'm very
lovely there. Wish I was there.
It was great. I'm just back at the little grove where we can find some respite from the sun. It's nice and cool and shady and green. Colonel, I've got Bob Jetter and James Neighbors and several other people on the radio and Barb's Logic. I wonder if you wanted to say just a few words. I know you must be really tired after all your efforts. Here you go. This is Colonel Riley.
Oh, great. Hello, Colonel
hey,
Riley.
How
are you?
Good. How you all doing?
Oh, we're doing great. I wish I was there shorter to shorter with you, but it's great to have you on the show.
Well, I know James. Is he on there with you?
Actually, this is Fred, one of his assistants.
Oh, okay.
I've talked
well,
to you
I know
before,
he was,
Colonel. I'd really like to talk to you, Colonel. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I've been here for 2 days, and everybody comes after you leave. They go, where is everybody? We need one spot. We need one spot. We cannot. We need to dig in, dig a foxhole, and stay. Okay? This is my opinion. We need to stay in one place until we grow our brain. Okay? I mean, it's like, we're all scattered all over the place. We're not in one area. We start one place, you go to another place, you go to another place, and people are, we're staying in one place, and people are coming by going, where is everybody? And I go, I don't know. But we've got to stay in one place, sir. We've got to dig in. We've got to hold the hill. Yeah, I could use 100 analogies, but we've got to stay in one place, sir.
Yeah, we've got to nail this down, and I'm not able to nail it down with you right now. Monday we're going to meet.
Oh, yeah. And somebody went to my phone. So
Can you listen? Can we some audio? I have some background noise there, or not noise, but the background talking to the folks, but I don't hear any of the other folks online.
I don't know where that's coming from. We've been meeting at the Washington Monument, and I've got to sort that out. I just don't have it straight right now, so I can't tell you a specific point today. We're going to meet Monday morning in front of the I don't even know what this building is. I just can't tell you right now. I have to get back with you. I'm sorry.
Well, I tell you what, Colonel. We've been over here right off of 14th Street in the mall all day long. We have interacted with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And there's a big, old, wide-open field right behind where they're setting up for this convention. And it would work just fine. There's
that's where we are. We're right in, you know, we've got a kind of a campsite set up here behind the, what is that building over there?
Aerospace Museum.
Okay, you're down at the other end. You're down at the other end.
Yeah, I'm down at the other end.
You've been telling people to come to the Washington Monument, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, now I am sitting here. The Washington Monument is on 15th Street, if you're coming from the Capitol. I'm on 14th Street, where all these food wagons are. All right, we've been here all day. We have interacted with hundreds and hundreds of young people. We've got an open field right here. If you want to get out of the sun, hey, it's 15 feet to get into under a shade tree. And we need to have a central location where we're at all the time. This walking around stuff, it's separating and scattering. We've got to dig in.
Yeah, I guess you didn't see us marching today because we marched right up through.
Yes, I did. I saw you marching yesterday. I saw you marching today. Marching, we've got to get the ranks to be in one spot and let it grow. We can't, you know, we've got to let it grow. And by marching around, it doesn't grow.
We're going to figure that out.
For
Monday, we're going to meet again in front of the Aerospace Museum. We have a permit for this area down here. That's where we're going to meet. And then
stay there, please, sir. Stay there. You've got to stay there.
Beg pardon?
You've got to stay there then.
Yes.
Okay, you've got to stay. I mean, I have talked to hundreds and hundreds of people going, where are they at? And I go, I don't know. They're over there. I thought we were supposed to meet at the Washington Monument. I said, well, you were, but there's nobody there. People show up and they go, okay, there's no one here. It's discouraging to some.
Well,
who probably have already left.
I mean,
let the Colonel talk. We don't like to interrupt folks here on the show, so go ahead, Colonel.
But I don't know when people have been showing up there and not finding us, because we were there until noon yesterday. We were there until 10:30.
James. James. Where'd he go? James. I just went dead here.
Okay, I've got.
You just spot that guy.
It sounds like there's so much going on down there that there's having some audio. But, you know, these kind of things happen. Some air time. We'll wait for James or Dan to get back down. Dan, you still out there? I see you on the. Well, I see James on the line. Looks like we lost Dan's connection. Looks like there might be some places there where people can't use their cell phones, maybe some bad areas there.
James.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah,
looks like they might have hit a.
They still think they're talking. Okay, it's helping you.
A bad zone area there. The organic grassroots results here on Bard's Logic was doing live, uninterrupted shows. Okay. Well, at this point in time, while we're waiting to get audio back from them, we're going to bring in our panelists and constitutional scholar, Kelly Mordecai, in. Thank you very much, Kelly, for calling to the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Feel free to interrupt me at any time as you get reports in from the field. I used to live in Maryland, and I'd go down to the D.C. Mall, and that the capacity there is about 1 million people. On the 4th of July, there'd be people everywhere. And it does get a little bit confusing when there's busy rallies and things like that. And he's just, all you can see is head sometimes. And it's really exciting that, they've talked with hundreds and hundreds of people. That's great. I mean, the layout of the mall, you got the Capitol building on the east, Washington Monument in the middle, and you got the Lincoln on the far west side. And then there's the big waiting pool there on the Smithsonian, which is on the south side. So it's a pretty big area, actually. You can walk around, and it's kind of hard to find whoever. And I would suggest that if you're going to move around, leave somebody with a big poster. Oh, that's the group over there. So it's pretty exciting, and I don't know how. I mean, I guess the overpass is hooked up with Colonel Riley. So now we got a bunch of people. That's pretty exciting. I can anticipate that, they do this again, maybe next year or in the fall or whenever they're going to do this again, they're going to have huge numbers.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, while we're waiting for a report, I want to tell you about
I'm in contact with James right now through texting, because, they may have some audio going on there, and I guess we're waiting to have Dan get back on as well.
Okay. Well, I'm just really glad that they're getting large numbers, because I'm like, boy, it's hard to get a bunch of big numbers in kind of my perspective, kind of a short notice, but they did it, and that's just really exciting. Especially the young people, because young people are realizing, hey, where's my American dream? I got my degree. I can't get a job. What's going on here? It's got to be very frustrating for them to be so highly educated and then have to say, well, they'll be fries with that, and they live with their parents, whatever. It's obviously the youth is waking up to the reality that, hey, something isn't right here. This American dream that has been instilled in me by my parents that has motivated me, inspired me to go to college and work hard or whatever training they've gotten, and now they're having a hard time getting a job. Well, yeah, something is fundamentally wrong with the structure of our government. We had a good structure, as their parents experienced, but now they're, what's going on here? And then they have time, which is kind of a good thing. They have time to study on the Internet and then realize, hey, whoa, there's more wrong with our country than I ever imagined. And so that's just exciting. People are putting their boots on the ground and getting there, and contacts are made. Political change happens through a lot of contacts. We bring more contacts, we bring numbers. It's just kind of a state of the affair, if you will, just the way things are done. And I'm just really in great admiration of how these folks are doing this.
Are you
texting, Robert?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, well, I'll just kind of blab on a little bit here. I'll gladly interrupt me whenever you need to. But
okay,
I
thought someone was trying to chime in there. Was that you, James?
No, it wasn't me. That wasn't me, Robert. Yeah, my phone's about to die on us here.
I'm down into the into the red. I'm under 20%, and this iPhone's not very accurate.
Okay. Well, definitely. Thank you very much for calling in and giving us that giving us the update and on how things are doing. Perhaps this coming Wednesday evening. Now, when are you going to be coming back, James?
I'm not sure yet. I've got to check on a few things tonight and see exactly what the plan is.
Okay. Well, then we'll definitely have an update this coming Wednesday on the normal time at 10 p.m. Eastern time this Wednesday, May the 21st, and we'll get some more information. But I do see a number of folks in the chat and those listening in. If you'd like to chime in and tell us Operation American Spring, you're welcome to do so by calling us at 347-945-7428. And it looks like we have Dan's line back on. Dan, you there?
Yeah, you know what? I hate this phone.
yeah,
I'm glad
no
we
problem.
Were able to get the girl. Like I said, his schedule would daunt a man who's 50 years younger than him. In fact, a lot of people are looking kind of tired, which is why we really need reinforcements. We're here, and although the activities are winding down for the day, because we're not going to be overnight, and nobody's camping on the mall, you have to find your own accommodations outside the city or wherever you can. Some can afford some of the four-star hotels. I myself am staying at a campground, sleeping in my car, which is awfully fun. I'm about to have to sign off, though, because we're going to be getting on the Metro. And, by the way, D.C. Metro service is great. So if you happen to be on the outskirts and you're somewhere near a D.C. Metro station, you can get into the city. It's not tremendously expensive. And I'll tell you what, they give the city of D.C. props. They really do know how to handle all these people and in a real nice fashion. I've met nothing but really decent people. And, in fact, I'll just mention this. I will not mention any names or identify who I would talk to because I don't want to jeopardize their job. But you all know a bunch of oath keepers. Well, I know people who are oath keepers who didn't know it because I've been discussing this with I talk to everyone, you know that, or with everyone. And I talk to some of the park police officials and the national parks officials who are, you know, what's going on here? And if I'm asking them for help, where's a restroom or questions like that. And then I tell them, and they're your routine, which I would expect, is I'm working, I can't get involved in politics. And I just remind them that same oath to the Constitution that they took, that I took, that so many of us took, has no expiration date, and we are only trying to make sure that the people in charge follow that oath, because I know that these workers do, and I know that I intend to. And the uniform response, and we're talking, so 2 days, I suppose I've talked about 22, 23 of them so far, is thank you, or I agree. And one fella, it was precious, he sort of ducks and looks both ways. He must have a pretty much a bear of a supervisor or whatever, but he looks both ways. He goes, God bless you, and he in a whisper. Can you imagine a federal government where you could get in trouble for saying, God bless you, or thank you for supporting the Constitution that I took an oath to that the government's supposed to be about. Anyway, that's America in 2014, and 2015 is going to be a different story one way or the other to us. This year is the year, folks, the year to get her done. And we are last-minute people, as I've said before, come-from-behind people, Hail Mary people, and now it's the time. So I welcome you, and I'll be signing off. And, Bob, you're awesome, and we're getting on the Metro. So I'll be speaking to you Wednesday and probably sooner. Anybody who is interested, I'm pretty open policy as far as who I'm friends with because I like people. So I'm on Facebook, Dan Gray, G-R-A-Y. There's a bunch of Dan Grays. If you find a devilishly handsome fellow with a shock of white hair in the middle of his head with kind of a serious expression, that's probably me. And with that, I'll say good afternoon from Washington, D.C., and carry on, Robert Jetter.
Thank you very much, Dan. I appreciate yourself and James and everyone coming into the show, giving us a live report there from Operation American Spring. And, yes, this Wednesday we will be covering the show, covering Operation American Spring on this Wednesday night show. For those who are new to the show, it is on Wednesday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. It's a three-hour show, and so you're always welcome to call us at 347-945-7428. And we do still have our constitutional scholar on, and also our panelist, Kelly Mordecai, and he's also an author of The Hidden Fourth Branch. And you can also find his book on Amazon.com, as well as the website at www.hiddenfourthbranch.com. So check that out yourself. And I got a general question here. For anyone who'd like to chime in, it's 347-945-7428. It'd be great to have you on the show. And one thing for those who are new to the show and they come on the list and they hear about Operation American Spring, to tell you a little bit about it, is that normally on Wednesday evening we'll have guests on for about an hour where I will ask interview questions of them, and then we will have our panelists on, and that includes Kelly Mordecai, who we'll hear about here with shortly, and then Cindy Todd, and also the two gentlemen you heard tonight, who is Dan Gray, who's also our contributor, and also James Neighbors, who's also the founder of Overpasses for America. So we'll get questions and comments from them, from our guests, and then we open up the show to audience members to chime in, where they can ask our guests questions or make comments themselves. And unlike most, if not all, talk shows that you hear on the radio, is, you know, you call in, you get your 5-10 minutes to speak with the host or what have you, and then they're like, well, thank you for coming to the show, goodbye, have a good night. Well, it's different here on Bard's Logic in that once you are on the show, you are welcome to stay on and join the rest of the show in what we call our roundtable discussion. We try to bring it around to folks as much as we can so that we can get their input as well. So you actually, instead of just coming in, making some comments, or getting a couple questions answered, you actually become a part of the show, because one thing we pride ourselves here on Bard's Logic is saying this is the grassroots We the People show. It's your show, the People show. And that being said, you're welcome to call in and be a part of the rest of today's show, our special Saturday afternoon edition, at 347-945-7428. And then the question I have, and Steve Harless in the chat here as well, is where is Fox News or Faux News? I've been trying to find if they have any comments on what's going on today in Washington, D.C., and I find it lacking in there. What do you think about that? What do you think about the lack of coverage from Fox News, Jane? I'm sorry, Kelly.
Well, the mainstream won't do much unless you get like 50, 100,000, 200,000. Did I say mainstream or the lamestream? But they might have been told, and maybe they sent a local station. I don't know. What is pretty common is a number of rallies here and there, and the congressman is kind of, oh, another rally, okay, no big deal, and he's kind of ignore them and walk by them because there's so many. But when you get large numbers, that's when you – and I've done these rallies before. Just word of mouth comes out, and boom, you get a bunch of people. Most of them are like Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania, sometimes South Carolina. And it's really it's quite a coordinating effort to get a lot of people there.
So
I know the colonel can draw a lot of people. And there's something also too that's just quite amazing when you actually go there. It's just kind of stunning to see. Now this is it. This is the hotbed of American politics, and it does something to you. I think it's a good thing in the sense that, you know, this is it. We can actually really make a difference. And Dan Gray, I don't know how many hours he drove to get there, 3 or 4. I don't know where he's at in Pennsylvania. But that's, you know, that's a definite sacrifice. And a really, you know, kudos for him for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And my first visit was in 88. It was a Christian national conference thing. And a bunch of us from Iowa State got in a van, and we went there, and we actually went into the Capitol building. We actually saw Ted Kennedy. It was hilarious because, well, we're just kind of wandering around. We went through some back stairs somewhere. When we got to see the chambers, we got to see this and that, and the architecture is just stunning. And we were in some back stairway, and Phil, he was always goofing around. He starts imitating Ted Kennedy, and he goes, and Bobby, hand me a bit more of those, will you? And just as he began to say that, Ted Kennedy came in the stairwell. And then and we're all like, look. And Ted Kennedy was looking at him with his eyes pulled down by his hand, you know, so his glasses were at the end of his nose, and gave my buddy Phil a dirty look. And then he kept going, and we're like, what just happened? That was Ted Kennedy, really?
Wow.
It's something you actually have, obviously, closer connections, but when you're there, it's more real. And so, yeah, it's really an exciting thing to hear what's happening today.
Yeah, it's great to have folks down there. I mean, I would like to have been able to make it physically myself and do a live show from the event. I think that would have been phenomenal. But unfortunately, things being as they are, I was not able to make it. But it was great to be able to have a live show, having live reports down there. It is maybe in July, I'm hoping to go down to D.C., just kind of a family trip, take my daughter down there, as I mentioned earlier on the show. She's not as much in the politics of American history as I'd like her to be, but she's getting there a little bit. She did make comment today about, and she asked, so how many years has Obama been in? I said, 6 years now. And she's like, oh, we got to have to deal with him. I mean, she's 12. She's like, we have to deal with him for 2 more years. So
train
like,
up early,
know,
train him up right.
Unless something happens where, we, you know,
step
down. Of course, they were stuck with Biden. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, there's so many beautiful things. If you're in the spring, the Jefferson Memorial, that alone is stunning. And his words etched into the walls, you know, many of his sayings are just, it's stunning. And in the springtime, they have the cherry blossoms blooming there. And then there's, of course, the Lincoln Memorial, where his Gettysburg is, again, sketched into the wall, you know, with a chisel, basically a hammer and a chisel, and his second inaugural address. And just, you read this stuff, you're like, wow, this is the real thing. This is the real history. For a girl her age, there's National Museum of, there's the Air and Space Museum, which is just mind-blowing. There's the National Museum of Science and Heresy, Heresy? No, they got evolution junk in that. But that's a real interesting museum. There's all sorts of things for kids that may not even be interested in politics. The wall is one of the most sobering things. Oh, you know, the Vietnam Memorial Wall. So there's a lot of really neat things to see there. And the best thing I would say is make sure you get a hotel or be ready to ride the Metro, which is a stunning engineering achievement. I've ridden the Metro a number of times. It's clean, it's beautiful, it's like, wow.
Wow.
It's stunning. And so, yeah, there's a lot of good things for kids to do there.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We'll see how things progress and getting out there. As I'm just chiming on some folks in Facebook. So if you are a Facebook user, you can also, two things. One, like the Bard's Logic Political Talk page. I'll be honest, I don't promote it as well as I probably should. But go there and like the page. We also have a Bard's Logic Political Talk Facebook group that folks can ask to join. And you can see a list of the guests that we've had on the show, including Matt Bevin. That brings me to something I want to talk about is you know, we had Matt Bevin here on the show, and, of course, he's running in the primary against Mitch McConnell. But I heard something disturbing that Rand Paul endorsed Mitch McConnell for the primary. And I got some quotes that when he was asked about it, he says, Mitch McConnell is an important ally and conservative voice in Washington for the people of Kentucky. The Commonwealth is stronger because of his service and look forward to continuing to work with him. Has Rand Paul gone over to the establishment? At least in that, I was shocked for to read that. What do you think, James? No, I keep calling you James, Kelly, because I was talking to James all morning or afternoon.
Well, I'm researching
about
this, but
Rand Paul Dalton. I mean, Tim was a betrayal of conservatism, and to me, what's up with that?
I got to research McConnell because I think he was the one who said with the NDAA, you don't get an attorney. Let's see. I'm going to type it in and confirm if he was the one who said that, because then I'm going to wonder about Rand. You don't. I'm typing here as I'm speaking here. You don't get an attorney. Let's see if he was the one who said that. Let's see. Oh, must be Connell at the shooting club.
Bevin over McConnell, somebody I would be suspect of, to be honest. I can't believe Rand Paul did that. Of course, he came out and endorsed Romney, too, which, we know that. But that was kind of a different situation than this one.
That might have been a backdoor deal to make sure Rand could run for president in 16. As far as damage control goes, I mean, Rand is way better than the establishment we've been having.
If he's starting to get pulled over to the establishment, I mean, doing things such as endorsing Mitch McConnell over Matt Bevin, I mean, unbelievable.
Well, yeah, it's on the other hand, he might be playing their game to get in, and all of a sudden he'll say, hey, surprise, I really love the Constitution, I'm just like you. I'm just like my dad, and I had to go along and get along. I'm really sorry that I'm here, and now we can make a difference and get back to the Constitution. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that kind of dealing. I mean, I know it's politics.
Well,
it's a game, blah, 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 but I do not like that. I do not like when any politician gives up the principles because they think they can make headway with the establishment so that they can try to get in the office and then make a difference. They're selling their souls. I mean, I don't know. It just bothers me. It's like if you're going to get into something, be principled, and maybe he's concerned about that big establishment money when, if he does run for president. But I just,
Yeah, one of the problems with our whole system is that the incumbents just keep getting in and back in and back in, and I don't understand it. It's just frustrating. I don't know what to say.
But, and then you have supposedly liberty candidates, liberty politicians, who endorse them. I mean, that's mine. I don't want to use the phrase. That's what something Rush Limbaugh says. So I've got an article that I read it, and then I'm not too fond of the article of the place where I've seen the article from, but still. I mean, when you talk about Mitch McConnell and his views of the Tea Party, right? And then what he said, McConnell said about the Tea Party, and then
what did he say about the Tea Party?
Well, I'm trying. Well, I'm going by this article here. Let me get a quote. I know he's been saying some things, but you're right. That's a good question. I'm going to get you some direct quotes of him, and I know in general that he's been, hard on him. So let me get some direct quotes.
Okay.
That's a good question.
Let me try it on YouTube, because YouTube sometimes a better search engine. Senator. You don't. Attorney.
Yeah. So here's the thing about here's an article. Mitch McConnell and Tea Party challengers. We're going to crush them everywhere. They're talking about the Wow.
Have you ever been to a Tea Party meeting?
It goes, I think we're going to crush them everywhere. McConnell told the New York Times in an interview published Saturday. I don't think they're – and even us talking about Matt Bevin, he's talking about everywhere. He says, I don't think they're going to have a single nominee anywhere in the country.
Oh, really?
So he's not just talking about
Rand Paul.
He's also talking about – Mitch McConnell's also talking, about the Tea Party anywhere.
Huh. Here it is. Glenn Beck claims Mitch McConnell called Tea Party senators traitors. That was last year.
See, that's one of the things we do tell, you know, folks that, you know, is a good idea is what we're doing here, as you see, is, you know, you do your own, you know, research and delve in deeper, and there you have it. As we did, giving you an example is, you know, Mitch McConnell, and then, as I said, Rand Paul, you know, talked about how he endorsed Mitch McConnell, and that's just ridiculous.
Oh, here it is. It wasn't Mitch McConnell that said that. It was Lindsey Graham. And I don't know if Rand Paul has endorsed.
Well, no,
I don't know if Rand Paul has endorsed Lindsey Graham.
No, I'm talking about Mitch McConnell. Says, I think we're going to crush them anywhere, told the New York Times in an interview published Saturday. Says, I don't think they're going to have a single nominee anywhere in the country. And that's from McConnell.
Yeah, so I have to retract that statement. Well, I first said I think it was, I want to make sure, but it was Lindsey Graham, South Carolina. Yeah, here, let me play the clip. It's only 7 seconds. I'll have to boost up my microphone. Let's just see if this comes through. I gotta boost this up this way. Oh, wait. There's another talk show going on. That's us. All right. Here we go. This is Lindsey Graham on You Don't Get an Attorney, which is terribly ignoring of the First Amendment, the Bill of Rights. Here.
And when they say, I want my lawyer, you tell them, shut up. What time don't get a lawyer? You're an enemy combatant.
That was Lindsey Graham on the House floor.
Yeah, I think, you know, and perhaps, you know, Rand Paul got caught with his, you know, his pants down, so to speak, because, you know, perhaps, you know, with the primaries, you know, going the way, and he thought that, and that's why people want to look at this more. If someone says, hey, wait a minute, that doesn't sound like Rand Paul, and you want to give us some more information on that, that's fine, and we welcome and we're open to that. Just send me a message on the contact page of the BardsLogicPoliticalTalk.com, and that's at www.BardsLogicPoliticalTalk.com, and check out the contact page, and then you could send me a message and say, hey, you know, give us more information on that, and I'll be part of doing more research. Just someone sent me a message on that, and I'm so flabbergasted, and I'd be happy if someone to say, oh, no, you know, this is what he really meant, then we can, you know, talk about that more on the show.
Okay, well, here's something
that sounds pretty bad.
Yeah, here's some good things about Rand Paul versus Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham reached out to not just Rand Paul, but Ted Cruz, senator from Texas. Lindsey Graham has been asking for endorsements, and Rand Paul has basically said he is unlikely to get involved in that situation. Another writer indicates that the disagreements between Rand Paul and Senator Graham are no secret. They have clashed on various political items. So that's kind of good news. Stand up to somebody who says you don't get a lawyer.
Well, someone said that he was embarrassed about endorsing Mitch McConnell, but says, see here, there might be some audio. Let's see. There's a 5-minute clip here that I just found. So that's something that's play for all the folks and then see what they think. So let's give us a minute here. And I guess this is something where he was talking with Glenn Beck.
Senator, how are you, sir?
I thought you were endorsing me, Glenn. That's why did I come on your
show? Well, I thought you were going to announce that you're running for president in 2016.
Oh, I have to tell you what I'm running for before you endorse me.
Yeah, so, Senator,
hard to get before I just don't think that's fair.
Can we start with the hardest question that I have for you? And it is this: why are you endorsing Mitch McConnell?
I'm here in Texas to endorse Don Huffines. We got a signature clause here. Going back to Kentucky, because he asked me when there was nobody else in the race, and I said yes.
Al Gore has asked me to change my opinion on global warming, and I don't do that. So. If this is the way it works, I'm asking you to endorse that you're running for president in 2016 right now.
That's right. So you're endorsing me for president? I still really have no understanding you. We have a bad connection here.
Yeah, we do. Well, we're looking forward to having a conversation with you today. We're going to have a kind of an extended conversation for next week's
show. Right, so it seems a little ambiguous on that. Perhaps, you know, he did just endorse him because, you know, he said there was no other candidate. But we'll... I guess we'll have to see.
Wow, yeah. I'm kind of going off on a tangent with Lindsey Graham, and there was one county in his district that wasn't too happy with him, and the Republican Party there was getting resolutions to try to find Lindsey Graham replaced. You know, what's kind of interesting about this movement, you know, and again, that's what today was about, a big movement of people. But in some districts where there's congressmen, you can have a really, really strong Tea Party area in a few districts, and then you've got your establishment in other districts, other parts of the district. When you break up the district, you got for and against establishment, four Tea Party types, where Doug LaMalfa, who we sent from Northern California as a freshman, he's got a 70% rating on the Constitution, which is pretty good. There's a huge Tea Party in Redding, which is, I'm guessing, 150,000, 200,000 people. And we got a strong, constitutionally minded Republican Party here in the county. That's a big time Tea Party victory. When some of these jokers are saying, we're going to squash the Tea Party, really? Are you going to control every part of every district throughout the country? I don't think so. You have an attitude like that, and people find out, it is stunning how the grassroots is going to oppose you. So, anyway.
Well, and knowing what the Tea Party stands for, to have a candidate, especially a Republican Senate candidate, you know, say words in those terms, now I understand where he would, you know, maybe make some comments about Bevin. But for McConnell to say that they're going to be crushing, you know, the Tea Party members everywhere, I mean, what does that tell you? I mean, I just can't believe that, you know, that Mitch McConnell again would get – and, of course, that shows about the power of the establishment and the establishment money to get reelected in a primary.
Well, I have to ask
the
question.
Of course, it doesn't help when you have things about Rand Paul endorsing them. That being out doesn't help. He should never – in my opinion, Rand Paul should not have endorsed him until the general election. I mean, if he's going to endorse him, wait till the general election. Don't do it, you know, when you're in the primary season. I mean, I think that's short-sightedness on Rand Paul. I mean, I'm not trying to blast too much Rand Paul. You know, I like him for the most part. But all I'm saying is that's kind of short-sightedness to, you know, endorse a candidate way before a general election when you're still going through a primary. Of course there's going to be – and you would think he would know that there would have been a primary challenger to McConnell.
Well, maybe he's losing a little bit of touch with his local Tea Party. You know, his father, Juan Williams, said that Ron Paul was the father of the Tea Party. And for some congressman to say we're gonna smash the Tea Party, we're gonna crush him, I just gotta ask this question: is this congressman related to King George?
yeah, the senator. Yeah, is he related to King George? Yeah.
Yeah, because we remember somebody long ago who was opposed to the Tea Party. It doesn't make sense, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Either that or they don't study their history.
So we'll see what things what develops from there, and then we'll get. I'm just kind of surprised to see that. I'm glad we looked in further, and he seemed kind of stunned about. I guess they're talking to Glenn Beck about it, but we'll see, and perhaps we'll look more into it when I have time. Just that's something that I read during the show. Someone sent me that during the show, and so I thought I'd bring it up for folks can do more research on it, and for me as well. Just do more about that.
Well,
I mean, I was just floored when I heard this. I'll ramp all doing that, but. Makes me the reason it causes me concern, and you've seen this before, Kelly, is that you've had so-called Tea Party candidates that turned around. Nikki Haley is one that comes to the first that comes to mind. That comes out and they come and turns around and starts supporting the establishment.
Yeah, well, politics is a very dirty, ugly situation. I wouldn't be surprised if Rand Paul is a threat to some of the establishment, so he's got to somehow find a way to get them to like him before they listen to some of the things he has to say. It's not something I like, per se, but sometimes in the dirty game of politics, it's kind of what you have to do. If Rand can get these guys to like him, they might start listening. They might start shaping up. I don't know. It's not so easy being on the outside compared to what's on the inside, and vice versa.
Look at the 2012 campaign. I mean, I had folks calling into the show after Romney lost because, after the 2012 primary, I refused to support Romney. Of course, I didn't support Obama. But at that point in time, I thought, for people who, by their conscience, couldn't vote for Romney, I had on, from the Constitution Party, from the Libertarian Party, during that time, mostly the Constitution Party. I think they were the most conservative, and this is a conservative show, of the folks to choose from. I mean, there's people calling in, almost talking as if this show single-handedly caused, Romney to not get elected. And they want to blame us.
Really?
I'm serious.
Really?
Like, Robert, you and your people on your show, is the reason why we've got Barack Obama another 4 years. I'm like, that's great to be that influential.
I was talking to my local sheriff. We've had him on the show. John Lopey, great guy, loves the Constitution. And he was in his office, and he thought that Ron Paul was the reason why Romney lost. It's like, no, Romney lost because he was Romney. Did you notice?
Exactly,
And in my county, I noticed finally, I think it was a couple weeks ago, I noticed the third Romney bumper sticker in the whole county.
Like, and that's after the fact. I mean, and as soon as Romney got the nomination, I knew he wasn't going to win. A moderate Republican hasn't won a general election in 40 years. What made him think Romney could now, it was beyond me, even though, the country is what it is and the state is in because of, most in part by Obama. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I'd like to hear Cindy's thoughts if she's on.
Ooh, you sound like you're in the car. Are you traveling?
I'm outside in the wind here, per se. I'd like to hear Cindy's thoughts.
Well, I think Cindy might actually be driving. So, Cindy, I do see that you're on the line. If you'd like to chime in, just push the 1 on your number dial, if you're able to, because she called me when we chatted earlier or text or what have you, and she was telling me she's going to be doing driving. She's going to have her headset on. Well, she does want to chime in. She's able to. So, great. We have our other panelists on here, Cindy Todd from Florida, calling in. Thank you very much for calling to the show. What did you think about what's going on in D.C. and other topics we've got today? Cindy, go ahead.
Well, I actually just came on just to tell you that I need about 15 or 20 more minutes before I can actually talk. So give me just a few minutes. I have plenty to say.
Okay, well then, we'll definitely be going into the extended version then so that we can go ahead. And so what I'll do is I'm looking at the time, and in 20 minutes I'll get you back on. So I'll go ahead and mute the mic.
Okay.
And then what we'll have here is to let folks know who are new to the show. For one, of course, thank you very much for coming to the show, listening in. Of course, it's our panelists and our contributors and our audience that have gotten this show to grow. And I'm going to be bringing on some affiliates that I'm going to be having on for the show as well. And frankly, if people can, you know, check out the affiliates and maybe make some purchases from them, then they'll also help the show grow in that. Of course, if you get stuff from them, they will thus be like a sponsorship for the show, and we'll make some money here, and I'll be able to do more shows. So that'll help the show to grow. I mean, the goal for me is to get back to doing five nights a week, but of course, you know, like many folks here on Bard's Logic, our contributors and our panelists, it's we, you know, we have our quote-unquote day jobs, which, of course, for many of us is day and night jobs. So can't afford to do as many shows as I'm sure as we would like, because we got to put food on the table and stuff like that for our families as well. But anyway, for those who are new to the show, we're about 9 minutes until the end of the live portion. But if you'd like to hear more of the show, you'd have to call in at 47-945-7428 to listen to or be a part of the extended version. But if not, and you cannot, we still appreciate you coming. And you can listen to the rest of the show because all the shows are archived, so you can listen to the archive. So also share the link by either on Facebook or if you're a Twitter user, just put in listening to Bard's Logic and then copy and paste and put that in the Twitter message, the link to the show, and then put a hashtag Operation American Spring, and that would let your followers, let them know about the show, and hopefully they'll come in and listen as well. Another topic I want to talk about today, and I want to see your thoughts on it, and my thoughts may surprise you, and I'll explain why. But what I want to talk a little bit about those 200-plus girls over in Nigeria that got kidnapped by Boko Haram. I think that's what the name of the terrorist group is over there. And what I think, I'm going to tell you what I think we should do, and then you tell me what you think, Kelly. And we may disagree on that, and that's okay. We're talking about 200 girls here, young girls. And I think since no one else in the world, it seems, at least what I've seen, has the cojones to really do anything about it. Yeah, there's protests. People say we want them back, things of that nature. And I normally wouldn't say this. I normally would not say this. But I think this would be something that would call for us to have some folks in our special forces to go and take these people out and try to rescue these girls. Now, normally I'm not much for our military going around and doing stuff, you know, around the world, policing, things of that nature. But I think, you know, us doing things such as that has created the United States to be, you know, the great nation that it is, or at least was. We've certainly lost some of that, and we need to get it back. But I think we need to go over there, kick these guys' ass, you know, that's how passionate I feel about this, because I normally don't say words like that, but since it is in the dictionary and the Bible, it's okay. No, but that's how I feel about that. To get over there, take these guys out, rescue those girls, and get them home. Because, I mean, we're talking about 200 girls, little girls here, kidnapped by these folks. Something needs to be done. No one else in the world has the cojones to do it. I think we need to do it. What do you think, James? I mean, I keep calling you James today. I don't know why, Kelly. Go ahead, Kelly. What do you think?
Well, let me make it easy for you. Well, I'll just change my name to James, okay?
No, don't do that, Kelly. I'm sorry.
Okay,
I guess I've been talking to James a lot the past couple of days, you know, getting ready for today's show. So that's what
so you're
it
kind
is.
Of,
go
yeah.
ahead.
Yeah, well, first question, are these girls American?
What's that?
Are these girls American citizens?
No, they're not American citizens.
Okay. Well, the question before that is, do we have sufficient intel
to confirm this whole thing, because sometimes there are strange media distractions, and sometimes rumors fly in a small town. You can imagine how fun it is to survive the rumor mill and the rumors you hear, but intelligence confirmation is a huge first step to prove that indeed it has happened. Number two, look at options prior to any type or form of invasion, because when we go across the border of another country, that's pretty much called an invasion. So we have to look at other options first. I hate to sound like what other people have said before is sanctions. But sanctions are always difficult because you might have 50 people, and if you impose sanctions on a country, you could hurt, say, 5 million people. The other option is work with the existing government. Hey, you know, there's a real problem here. One of your factions
wants
help.
They're not doing
anything,
from my understanding. That's my point. I'm sorry for interrupting, Kelly, but their government, their people are ticked off because their government's not doing anything about it.
Well, of course. And so, you know, sometimes some countries don't have much money. And so, our diplomats talk with their diplomats. Would you like some help? If so, and with your consent, we will help. To point blank, just send even a SEAL team, you know, Magic SEAL Team 6 or whatever. It's complicated, and the ramifications are really bad. I mean, of course, we all having our hearts bleed over these girls, and this is horrifying. And then the next question is, well, when is the next time? And, you know, is it another 200? Are they going to up the numbers to 400 or 800? How can this be stopped without stepping on toes? It's a very...
And that's part of my
point, Kelly. It's very complicated, is what I'm saying.
Now, if they get away with it with impunity, you know, if they're able to do it with impunity, get away with it, what's to stop folks such as them to making it 400, 800? Go ahead.
Right, and as much as my heart bleeds, there's times they have to step back and say, there is only so much I can do. You know, supposing I was president, but I would be on the phone with the government offering help and assistance, or even, hey, how about a coalition? Call up the French or the British or whoever wants to help. Approach that government. We're glad. We're here to help. We have the resources, but we just want to respect your boundaries. I don't know. I'm kind of being a little tough on you here in a subtle way. You just don't go into another country to save 200 girls, because you start issuing a precedent, if you will, a precedent where, let's suppose we had a president that was a big-time Muslim, and he felt it necessary for the United States to go in and meddle with other nations' politics. When you open that door, that precedent, you start allowing other presidents and the nation to do things that could be sold as a bill of goods, but it's really evil. So there's a lot of complexities to it.
Well, when you're talking about, you know, going in and changing governments, things of that nature, let's say, you know, if you want to use Iraq, for instance, as some folks would do, I mean, you're comparing, in my opinion, you're comparing apples and oranges. And, you know, I mean,
I'm respecting,
for a while, and no one's done nothing about it. The French aren't going to do anything about it. The Germans aren't going to do anything about it. The people's own government aren't doing anything about it. That's part of where I'm at, is no one has done anything. I mean, how long?
I know. Well, there's another tactic, you know. I mean, there's got to be all sorts of options before we send in invading forces. You know, request to their government, hey, can we give your local folk guns so they can go deal with it themselves? You know, there's been a number of wars.
And I understand that, Kelly. But these people, I mean. You're going up against terrorists. What are you going to give guns to a bunch of villagers saying, here, go get your girls back? I mean, real quick, if anyone would like to listen more to the conversation or to chime in, we got less than a minute here of live time for folks to do so. And that's 347-945-7428. If you'd like to listen in to the extended version or chime in on any of the discussions today on Operation American Spring, what we talked about with Rand Paul, or even our discussion now with what's going over with the 200 girls in Nigeria, at call in at 347-945-7428. So go ahead, Kelly, but and I'll continue. I just
War in Afghanistan.
The thing is, you have these villagers, and you do give them guns. They're not going to know what the heck to do with it. They won't have the skill to be able to do what needs to be done, I think, to get these girls down.
In Afghanistan, a lot of Mujahideen didn't know how to operate guns, and Charlie Wilson's war, and Congress voted for funding for the Mujahideen. We were spending nickels and dimes, and the Russians were spending dollars and $5 bills, in Afghanistan. So we obviously, with not just money and aid and guns, we were sending military advisors. That's not an invasion. That is a form of assistance. Whereas, it's another option. I mean, just to quickly go in and invade a country, even if it's a SEAL team,
But you're not invading the country. We're not invading the country.
We'd be on their soil.
We're not invading a country. I mean, we're going
after a terrorist. I know, but we'd be on their soil.
They captured 200 people.
We would be on their soil. What if, Sandy Hook, to prevent another Sandy Hook, let's have some of the Russian army come and surround our schools, and protect the kids.
But we've done something. I mean, we've done something about it. We've had people there. I'm not saying, here we are, but here's the thing. You do go through some channels. You go through and say, hey, look, this is what we're planning on doing. You want your girls? We're here to get them out. Of course, you'd have to, you'd want to get their government's permission to get in there. I mean, I get that. And I'm not saying, you don't do that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying is that, and there's steps that you have to take in order to be able to go. I mean, look what we did to get Osama bin Laden. What's your thoughts on that? Should we have not done that?
That's another story.
Osama bin Laden, I don't think we got anybody's permission to do that.
Except we were lacking a constitutional declaration of war.
We went in and got Osama bin Laden. We went in there and got Osama bin Laden. And did we get their government's permission? No, we snuck in, took the guy out.
Well, he was the government.
he wasn't the government of Afghanistan. He was in Pakistan.
Right, you're right. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm confusing him with Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, he was hiding out in Pakistan. We certainly didn't get the Pakistani government's permission to go in there. We snuck in there in the cover of night, took him out, and got his body. He supposedly got his body. And,
totally, yeah.
Well, and I say supposedly, like no one's seen it except the six people who we just talked about earlier. Didn't they all get killed?
Yeah,
and all the folks I'm sorry?
Yeah, it's a typical, if somebody knows too much or they're about to speak up, they get put on a helicopter and it crashes, but that's another story. That's the trend.
Yeah, maybe we'll need to cover more of those stories.
It's frightening. But, here's the thing is, might doesn't make right. Success doesn't make right. We have the boundaries of another country. Yes, they've got their problems. I understand that. But there are ways that have to be exhausted before even considering this. And then under the Constitution,
these 200 girls are killed.
I know. There are times when I have got to say there's only so much I can do. And I've been trained well in this, there's only so much I can do, is every rare and again. A client doesn't listen, and they will lose a lot of money. There's nothing I can do. The record was $1.2 million. The guy lost $1.2. Like, dude, I told you, but I didn't grind it in. There's been a number. Being a consultant brings forth these situations on rare occasion. One guy, he didn't want to spend $800 on me. He'd rather spend $90,000 because he got a judgment against him. I mean, there's nothing I can do. And as much as my heart bleeds and I didn't sleep very well, after I heard he got his judgment, I'm like, I told him he didn't want to do it. I can't put a gun to his head. There's nothing I can do. It's heart-wrenching.
but there's something we can do, Kelly.
Well, there is. Before we send in the SEAL team, we ought to look at other options, make sure it's all based on good intel, which was the problem with the war in Iraq. Where's the weapons of mass destruction? Confirm our intel, consider our options, make some calls.
Well, let me get back on that. I'm kind of having a fun disagreement here. But let's get back on that about the intel about Iraq. I still think that there were indeed weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. I fully believe there were. I think because they debated whether we should go in there for a year and a half. That gave them plenty of time to get rid of those weapons of mass destruction. And I believe that those weapons of mass destruction found themselves in Syria. That's what I think happened. I truly do. I think that they had a year and a half where they debated, you know, and it was all over the media. I mean, the enemy knew what the hell was going on. They knew what was coming. They knew that, you know, they had plenty of time to put that somewhere else. That's what I think.
We got to have Michael Green on. He wrote a book called The Real Truth About the Iraq War. He's only an hour from me. I went to when he had a book signing, and he talked about what's really going on. There's some pretty spooky stuff that with Iraq that I really don't want to go into because it takes too long. But back to 200 girls, I wish something could be done. Send a congressman over. Hey, you guys need help. If you have a lack of resources, we're glad to help you so you can do what it takes to get these girls. I mean, that's a good option from the get-go. But I have to respect the sovereignty of other nations.
So you don't think we should have got Osama bin Laden then? We should have got him.
That gets into a very...
We didn't respect Pakistan's sovereignty when we did that.
Well, if we wanted to go to war with Iraq, where was our Constitutional Declaration of War? We did
I'm not disagreeing with you on that one. But I'm saying, I mean, if we didn't have the government permission of Pakistan to go in and get Osama bin Laden, how is that different than us going in and getting these terrorists so that they could free these 200 girls? Where's the difference?
Well, Robert, if you're going down the road and you run through a stoplight, a red stoplight, are you going to run through the next one because you got away with it the first time?
No, probably not. But that's what I'm asking you. Do you think that we should have not gotten Osama bin Laden? I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I'm trying to say, we did exactly what you folks, and that's not just you. I think you're a great representative for a lot of people who are, you know, think and feel the same way that you are about it. You know what I mean? I think a lot of folks, you know, think and feel the same way you do. But, you know, it's like this. I did a survey one time back in college. I did a research paper on abortion as an issue of violence. And it just astounded me how many folks who were pro-choice were also the same folks who were, let's say, environmentalists, or they were, you know, the PETA people about, you know, no cruelty to animals and things of that nature. I'm like, well, wait a minute. It's not okay to beat up a dog, you know, but it's okay to abort a baby. I mean, the same folks who said they were, you know, nonviolent people, you know, but the same people said abortion's okay, you know, pro-choice, abortion's okay. So, and that's what I'm seeing here. Is you get, and I'm not saying you, Kelly, because you really haven't answered me, but...
Well, by the way, I'm a member of PETA. Did I ever tell you I was a member of PETA?
Huh?
Did I ever tell you that I was a member of PETA?
No, I don't know if you're ever a member of PETA.
I am. I'm a member of PETA. People for the Eating of Tasty Animals.
What's that?
Of Tasty Animals.
Oh, my gosh, that's terrible. You know.
Well, let me tell you my position when the Iraq war broke out, okay? It's like, ooh. At first, I was neutral because I couldn't gather enough information together.
And, of course, they weren't following the Constitution, which really bothered me. And then I went into a position of, well, because we have made a mess now, if we pull out, those people will have no civil order. It will be a disaster. So I was in favor of a short occupation, but that never happened. They never had no exit strategy. Like, yeah, let's just go in and bomb a country, and then how are you going to get out so the people, the innocent civilians, can get their lives back together? Of course, we had the Marshall Plan with World War II, which is really good, and now Japan's a really strong ally. Of course, we bombed them far worse than Iraq. But this whole Iranian war against Iraq was, it's disgusting how there wasn't good intel to start with. It was sold on a bill of goods. It was frustrating. And there's other inside factors like, central banks. Just so happens they didn't have a central bank. They were about to go trading oil in euros instead of American dollars, which was the OPEC contract. So we were going to be hurt pretty bad financially. Oh, no, sorry. You're not going to trade in euros because we're invading your country. There is all sorts of factors going on with people at the top who are very corrupt. So look, if you want to go to war, get the consent of the American people. That's why that's in the Constitution. Should we go to war, yes or no? American people tell us. And we spent way more money than we should have on this. I mean, it was just frustrating. Anyway, you got to hear that maybe we ought to bring the speaker on after primaries are over.
Well, I'm trying to get feedback on the call dropped. I'm trying to do a three-way call, but for some reason things aren't working out too well for for that. So I'm trying to get that together. So, bear with me. Are you still there, Kelly?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. Yeah, something happened again. I've been having some troubles when I've been trying to do the three-way call. So I don't know the problem is that. It's maybe because I try to do it through my text instead of whatever, but when I try to merge the calls, it just wasn't working. So it seems like I'm still stuck on the call, unfortunately. So,
here's another principle.
Unfortunately, I don't know if we'll be able to get Cindy on with that.
Okay. Well, here's another principle about war. We have to be very careful. This war on terror, we have got to be very careful as a nation to not buy some of the junk that's been fed to us. Oh, we're a bit insecure because a little country, I don't know, 7,000 miles away that doesn't have long-range missiles, we're a little insecure over here, so we're going to go get them over there. That's just kind of goofy.
Well, I'm going to, unfortunately, I thought about trying to get another way to get her in, but I don't know if, unless you have a three-way call, but perhaps you could call her and she can
I don't think I have her number. Yeah, I don't think I have her number.
I could text it to you.
Okay, I can try.
Because my concern is if I get disconnected, it'll end the show. It'll end the show for everybody. So if one of you guys get disconnected, then I still go on. But once I get disconnected too, then it ends the show for everybody.
Yeah. Well, back on that thought of going to war with some nation thousands of miles away because one's insecure, the trade with the colonies looked a little bit threatening, and King George just happened to send a whole bunch of troops over here because they were insecure in Great Britain. He was worried about money, so they started having the Townshend Acts and some of the other intolerable acts where basically British soldiers could be quartered in colonial homes. They were getting concerned in Great Britain that we're going to lose our money. They got insecure, so they started messing with another nation. I mean, this is another fundamental principle. So why are we going to war? Because we're insecure? Or maybe we're codependent? The American people, before World War II broke out, before Pearl Harbor, they did not want to get involved in the conflict in Europe, and they knew it full well.
you know, the newsreels and Saturday matinees and whatever, they knew of these wars. And the American people did not want to get involved until Pearl Harbor. So, declaration of war upon Japan, and then the next day we were at war with Germany. But that was an obvious, you know, again, constitutional war. Did I lose you, Robert?
No, I was still trying to get a hold of. I was texting Cindy to try to see if I could get something going with that. But we still got about 45 minutes if we go to full version of the extended period, which we may or may not of the special edition here. But we will be coming back on again Wednesday, and perhaps we can't get her on tonight. She'll be able to tell us her thoughts. She said she had a lot of things she wanted to talk about, so I really wanted to get her on. So I don't know what the that's the second time I try to use my three-way calling to bring somebody in, and for some reason it didn't pan out too well. I don't know what the trouble is. But you know what? There used to be, I guess not, where you could call folks from here, but it looks like you can't do that as well as in the extended version.
Well, I want to tell you a story about D.C., if I can. But yes, no. I'm trying to change the topic because I want to tell you a story about what I saw once in Washington, D.C. Like, okay, I guess I will. All right, you're busy texting. All right, so it was 1994, and we watched the fireworks on the White House lawn. Now, it seems a little odd, but I had a friend, his name was Mac, he was in Special Forces. Peer sometimes, he'd called up for whatever he was doing, and he brought like three of us, four of us, and he had a special pass, and so we got to get on the White House lawn for the 4th of July fireworks, which, by the way, there's typically a million people in the mall when they do the fireworks, and the sky gets so filled with smoke from all the fireworks, it's just stunning, they have to wait. Well, anyway, so we're sitting there on the White House lawn and waiting for the sun to go down, and the Marine Corps band was playing. It was pretty cool. And lo and behold, Clinton came out. And he just started, you know, going to little picnic groups or whatever with a bunch of people. And I was kind of watching him. He's shaking hands and just doing his thing. And he had a pipe. And he comes over to our group, and we shake his hand and stuff and talk to him. And I got to find out whether he actually does inhale, you know, his little pipe. Well, I found out he doesn't inhale. He basically sucks. Hey, I got your text. See if I can get Cindy in on this.
Okay, so I won't try again just to see what your thoughts were and whether we should have gone into Pakistan to get Osama bin Laden. So. I tried that a couple times, but
that's my first question. Do we have enough intel? Was he even alive? Other reports is that he had cancer and he's already dead. Do we have enough proper intel?
They should have at least, the burial was so quick and things of that nature. That's what gives me pause to wonder whether it was just BS. And of course, and knowing Barack, I don't know. And what makes it even more mysterious is, you know, the folks who are the ones who got him are the same folks who died in that other helicopter accident.
Yeah, just a little accident there, just a coincidence. Adolf Hitler, why didn't we just send we didn't quite have SEAL teams then, but special forces in, take out. Why didn't we just do that with Hitler instead?
Well, they tried to get assassinated. Even his own people on his own, you know, close to him. I mean, that movie Valkyrie was a good show about it. Even his own people tried to take him out. That guy was just, you know, luckier than an Irishman with a four-leaf clover.
Yeah.
The end, and he ended up taking his own life.
Yeah, if that's true.
That's true.
I'm
Yeah, I'm beginning to trust the government less and less with what they pump out. You know, for example, the Monica Lewinsky thing was going on. Oh, it was big in the media. What was really going on was, at the same time, Clinton was selling military secrets to the Chinese on long-range missiles. Yeah, so the public didn't know about it. I mean, there's certain things that go on that's just point-blank spooky. So intel is key. Let me try this. I'm going to call her. If
okay.
I can do this simultaneously. I might disappear here.
Okay, that's fine. I hope it doesn't drop the call, or else I'll probably close things out. But for next week, so if we could, I really would like to get her onto the show.
Okay.
Hey,
are we three-way?
Is that Cindy Todd?
I guess.
All right, great to hear from him. Glad we were able to get that working. I don't know what was going on with my end. Maybe I'll have to try something different next time. But go ahead. We've been waiting to hear from you.
Well, I guess I'll start by saying thank you for trying so hard to get me in. I appreciate that.
No, you're welcome.
I listened for 2 hours, and I saved up all this stuff I wanted to talk about. So it's like all of a sudden I couldn't talk anymore, and I was like, oh, no. Okay, so just to try to – the last thing you guys were talking about before I got dropped was the 200 girls in Nigeria that had gotten kidnapped.
Right. We still haven't got off of that. Go ahead.
Well, my nearest way to stay current is to stick with the last thing I heard, so I'll start there. Anyway, I kind of agree with you, Robert, that the United States does need to get involved, and the reason for that is good old President Goodluck Jonathan he's a good man. He's a Christian man, by the way. I didn't know if you knew that, but I know that if he could, he would have those girls out of there by now. I know that's the kind of guy he is. I've read enough about him to know that. But I think he does need help. And I'm with Kelly on this, that it doesn't need to be our boots on the ground that goes in and gets them. No SEAL team should go in there. No Green Beret needs to go in there. No special ops stuff needs to go in there. But our special ops, our SEALs, we need to tell them what to do and help them in any way we can with intelligence. I don't know what kind of intelligence he may have. I would like to think that we could do better given our technology and everything. Who knows? But something does need to be done to try to get them out of there. I would want the whole world to try to help my little girl if my little girl was, in some Boko Haram hellhole and they're doing who knows what to her. I would want whoever was able to go in there, I would beg them, I'd pay them to go in there and get my little girl out. And I'll bet you that's what those parents are thinking too. So I don't think we're going to have a PR problem unless we fail. However, like Kelly said, it is not our country. If someone were to beg us to come in, if Good Luck Jonathan had asked us to come in there and help physically, I would consider it. I'm not saying it would happen. I would consider it. But basically, you're both right. We need to help in any way we can, but
I don't think they should pay them off. I mean, I think that would just bring more of that stuff, don't you think?
I'm sorry, what, hon?
Don't you think if we were to pay them off, though, that it would make it worse, that you would see more of this kind of stuff if they actually paid them?
For some reason, I can't hear very well. What's going to be worse? I can hear you saying something's worse, but I can't understand what it is.
I said, wouldn't it make it worse if folks were actually to try to pay them off?
Oh, no, I don't mean that way. No.
Oh, okay.
I mean I would pay I would pay the United States Special Ops. I would pay whoever to rescue them, not to pay them off or give them what they want, like a piece of government or a piece of land. Or I would not go there. No, I'm just saying I would pay some, you know, private eye to go look for my daughter and try to rescue her. And so I would pay anybody to try to rescue my daughter. But I would not agree to having the government step in and give them their demands. No way. Absolutely, you're right about that. You can't give those people an inch, or they think they own the whole country, you know. But actually, those 53 of them supposedly have escaped. So those little girls, I pray and hope that they're being debriefed and they are finding out what they know, what the conditions are like, what kind of, you know, what was weak about their security that they were allowed to get out, unless they were let out purposely for some reason. But anyway, they need to be debriefed so that, you know, we can maybe strategize off of what they know, what they can tell us. But what distresses me the most is that I heard two Muslim women being interviewed the other day on a TV show, and I don't remember which one it is. It may have been Hannity. I don't know. They were saying that, or one of them was saying, that, I better not say that because I'm not sure who it was that said it. It may not have been them, so I don't want to say a wrong thing. That's for sure. We're on the radio. We can't do that. But anyway, there's things we don't know about, and you know, in the Muslim community, they even here in the United States, there's people that don't really know what's going on over there, and they've been told by their imams and the men of their family, who are the only ones to be able to get involved in politics, they've been told by their men that those little girls are being held by Christians.
Well, this is
Boko Haram, an Islamic militant group. This is not a Christian group taking these kids. But that's the kind of
crap. Yeah, and they're holding them because they were just trying to get an education, right?
Huh?
From my understanding, they kidnapped these girls because they were just trying to get them an education.
Exactly. And that's why they were targeted, because they were little girls in a Christian nation, basically. I mean, Boko Haram has taken over part of northern Nigeria, but basically Nigeria as a whole is a Christian nation, one of the few in Africa. And so it's very... you know, they are jealous. They're outraged that, you know, the Nigerian president is a Christian and he goes against Sharia law and educates these little girls. How dare he, you know. At least they were taught in a separate school. They were taught in a, you know, all-girls school. They weren't taught with boys like we do here in America. But anyway... that's all I had to say about that, really, unless you guys have anything more.
Well, Kelly, if you'd like to chime in on that, then you can move on to other things we talked about, maybe like Rand Paul or Operation American Spring. Kelly?
Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of shocked, Robert. We've been at this for well over a year, and we finally have a disagreement. I thought, wow, hey, that's kind of cool. It's kind of healthy.
I think our first one.
Nobody's arguing at all because I'm taking both of y'all's side.
Yeah. Hey, next time, Cindy, you're on the road and you're worried about a policeman pulling you over for being on a cell phone while you're driving, well, we'll just offer to put him on the show, too.
Oh, well,
there you go.
I have my earphones on. I don't have my hands off the wheel. I have two hands on the wheel.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
You got one of those fancy schmancy things, huh?
Now, whether I'm totally concentrating on the road or not. I'm hoping I am, but anyway. Hey, well, you know what, Robert? Earlier you said that your daughter had said, now how many years do we have left of Obama? And you said two more, and she's like, oh, man, two more years. I want you to know that Benny and I had almost the same conversation. Benny says, are you kidding me? We have to put up with that idiot for two more years?
Yeah, no doubt. Either that or Biden.
I mean, these kids are 11 and 12 years old, and they can see it. I mean, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I have better common sense and better sense about economics and foreign policy than Obama does. Either that, or he's just a puppet being told to do what he's being told to do, and there's people that know exactly what they're doing, and it's in order to break down the United States and to destroy our sovereignty. It's the only thing I can think of, because if I'm smart enough to figure it out, if Kelly's smart enough, if you're smart enough, if James is smart enough, and Dan is smart enough, and all the other people that listen to this show, then I think that, you know, Harry Reid and Obama and Mitch McConnell and all those guys, they should be smart enough to have it figured out.
You just made an assumption, though, Cindy.
The party's a puppet, but a powerful one. Go ahead, Kelly.
You just made an assumption, Cindy, that our congressmen are smarter than us.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Well,
that's okay. They're supposed to be, right?
Doubt.
They're the elite.
Right. I was giving them the benefit of the doubt. I was, you know, trying to be the humble, you know, servant type out here in the public. And
Well, you have a brilliant point, though, is if we can figure it out on the outside, they darn well better know, and they really should know what is really going on.
They
do.
Yeah, so that's a really excellent point. What's your thoughts on the American Spring?
Well, I think it's an awesome concept, and I say shame on Tea Party patriots for condemning it. They don't even know what they were talking about. At the time when they condemned it, it hadn't even started yet, and they're condemning it already. Glenn Beck had also said something derogatory about it, and I'm very upset that there are people who are supposed to know better that would think that this was anything but what Dan called it, a human petition. And we are petitioning our government, which is totally constitutional. And they're saying we're not going about it, or Tea Party Patriots anyway, has said we're not going about it according to the Constitution. Well, I'm sorry, but maybe I'm going by the Declaration of Independence, which I'm also allowed to do. But when my government has shown itself to be tyrannical, it is not only my option, but it is my duty to replace it, get rid of it, okay? And that's what we're doing. We're down, well, I'm not because I'm on my way to Texas, but I would be there if it wasn't for my daughter having a baby.
Congratulations.
That's why we're there. We're there to try to remove the government who has become completely tyrannical. And I wish them well. I pray for them that they're safe and that if they – at this point, they're so small that I don't think the tyrannical government will even bother with them. They'll just try to hope that they go away and they fade away and nobody has anything to say about it and nobody even knows it happened. Then they don't care that it happened. But if it should happen to grow – and if it should happen to start making headlines in either form of media, then they may try to infiltrate it, as they did with Occupy Wall Street, and mess it up. And that, I pray, doesn't happen. I pray that all those guys that are there will be able to, you know, spot something like that before it actually happens and I'm praying that I know that Colonel Riley, you know, he's not a young man, and I know that he's working hard and keeping long hours, and I pray that God will sustain him, and I pray that the weather will be nice for them too, because like the those floods kind of put a damper on things. And as one of the overpass guys from Chicago, Illinois was on earlier, and he had stated to Colonel Riley that he needs to find one place and kind of stay in it. And I think that's probably a good idea. It may discourage people not to be able to find the crowd. They want to be part of a crowd. They don't want to be up there by themselves with their placard, you know, and trying to make a difference. They don't feel, they have to feel like there's a body of evidence around them, you know. Can I get a witness, you know? And the more people gathered in one place, the more obvious they are also. Now, James has got to be out on the overpasses. I guess he's on the beltway. He ought to be, you know, he needs to be everywhere, but the main crowd needs to be at one place in Washington so that they command attention that way and they're easy to find. There needs to be some sort of a plan, in other words. I know Colonel Riley didn't really want to have a plan to have to stick to, and you know, I guess the more it needs to be spontaneous, and yet you still got to have some organization. I don't know.
Yeah,
if you want people to get involved, and I think we need to keep putting it out there on Facebook and Twitter and all your media, and try to get people to, you know, actually get off work and go up there for a little while.
Yeah, oh, I mean, I would love to have gone, but, you know, things being as they are at this point, unfortunately, I wasn't able to make it personally, physically. But, you know, I was hoping by having the live show with people reporting on there, you know, at least I could be there in spirit.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you are, because it does get us connected with the guys, and we got to listen to James and Dan and Colonel Riley and all those guys. We got to talk to some people who were there and, you know, get the scoop on exactly what's going on there. So, and that's important for us. We need to get information if we're in the dark, because both medias, mainstream, lamestream, whatever you want to call it, the lamestream and the secondary media, nobody's really covering it yet. So,
well, and Fox News isn't either. And I think if Fox News, I mean, as much as I don't like Fox News for many reasons, and the people who are long-term listeners know why, and if folks out there are new to the show don't know why I'm not as fond of Fox News, you're welcome to hear more about what I got to say by just listening to our archives, is that, you know, that I didn't see them much covering it, but I think if they would have, I think if they would have touted it, maybe it got out the correct information about it, unlike the statement from the Tea Party Patriots that states this, TPP statement on American Spring event, says the bedrock principles of the Tea Party Patriots are enshrined in the Constitution of the United States. We're getting some bad feedback there. Probably some wind.
Well, noises. Maybe you're hearing my
better.
Car noises.
Oh, that's okay, and I'll talk over it. It says, the Tea Party Patriots are enshrined in the Constitution of the United States. It is a document which, by design, fosters thoughtful government action and transition of power. Today and in the past, the nation has faced real perceived usurpations of the Constitution. The Tea Party Patriots is dedicated to fight for constitutional integrity. In doing so, we also recognize that this fight must necessarily be conducted within the framework of the Constitution itself. It is for these reasons that we reject any use of violence by any parties in pursuit of the goals of personal freedom, economic freedom, and a debt-free future. We welcome spirited debate and discussion of the critical issues facing our nation and recognize that incendiary language does a disservice to the debate. Tea Party Patriots is not affiliated with May 16, 2014, Operation American Spring, nor do we participate in this event. As with any demonstration, we ask our members to exercise due diligence in evaluating our own participation in this event. And this is from the teapartypatriots.org. And so I think the folks there, at least the ones who wrote that, I guess, statement, had a misunderstanding of what Operation American Spring is all about. What do you guys think? Kelly?
Kelly? Are you there, Kelly?
Kelly,
I'm here. I got a lot of background noise. I'm running to a local hardware store right now. I'm kind of concerned from some other sources I have with Tea Parties that some have been infiltrated.
And
I don't know what to say about that. It's just frustrating. What we saw in the 2012 was that Romney had a lot of money, and he sent people into the Gingrich camp. He sent them into the Ron Paul camp.
I personally witnessed that. Mm-hmm.
And so it's really kind of spooky. You just got to wonder sometimes if they say Constitution and then they, you know, do weird things like this and not supporting the American Spring. I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
I don't think that, I think that people need to know, you know, if you're in a local Tea Party group, you need to know that you're autonomous and you don't have to do or say or react the way, you know, the headquarters says you have to react. And I've also heard, this is from Karen Schoen of Agender. We had her on the show one time, and she said in her last newsletter that there are Tea Party Patriot leadership making six-figure income and $10,000, $12,000 a month or something like that. I can't remember exactly what she said.
I need to do that.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. I mean, it really burns me up that people griped and complained and left James and the overpasses people because James paid a stupid electric bill with donated money, which he has to have electricity. The man didn't have a job. He has to have electricity if he's going to do what he's doing. Excuse me, it's part of what needs to be paid.
Well, that's called administrative costs or something like that. Go ahead.
And
not
yeah,
administrative.
And yet,
that's
And he hasn't paid himself any salary. He hasn't paid himself any salary. Here's these people proclaiming, you know, to be, you know, the saviors of the country. And we're supposed to trust them, and yet they're padding their own pockets the same as the rhinos are up in Washington. No wonder they don't have that much to say about it. I mean, yeah, Rand Paul goes and endorses Mitch McConnell. And I guess if you look at the timeline, it is true that what's-his-name had not entered the race yet. Matt Bevin had not entered the race yet. However, for him to just automatically say yes just because, quote, he asked me to.
Right.
I'm sorry. How about I'll think about it. Let me see what's going on. Let me do some research. Let me pray about it, whatever he wants to say. But give me some time to think about it.
Right, and during
then,
the primary season.
Excuse me?
Yeah, and of course it was during a primary season, you know.
Right. Well, at that point, Matt hadn't entered the race, but I mean, there was plenty of time for someone to enter the race at that point. So he didn't even bother to wait for that, you know. And so that's very disconcerting. And it does come to show you, though, that even a man who really does have principles, I think he does have principles, same as I think Newt Gingrich has principles, but they had to put their principles aside in order to stay politically alive. And I know that I know what they were thinking. How can I be the hero? How can I help my country if the rhinos shut me down and they get me out of office? I know that's what they're thinking. And I know Newt was thinking, okay, well, Romney's got this thing bought and paid for. I have no chance. But I got to stay viable so that I can help. I have to have a platform where I can get the truth out and get conservative thinking out. And so he does the dirty deed, and he says, I support Romney. And so they get it out. I'm going to support Romney. Okay? They hold their nose just like many of us held our noses and voted for him. But basically, I'm with you, Robert. I think it stinks that they give up their – I think – if they made a huge fuss over it instead and just out and out outed these people with the backroom deals and the under-the-table money and the strong-arming that they do to get their way, I think if someone laid it out in the public arena, I think that's the way to get it all stopped and shut down. And if they had exposed all of that, then I don't think they would have had to endorse people like Romney and McConnell. And by the way, it was either McConnell or one of those rhinos that said, we will crush every party candidate. That's all right. It was one of those rhinos that said, we will crush every Tea Party candidate. Problem is, they've already lost one of those. Ben Sasse won his primary in Nebraska, so hallelujah to that. So it's just that they have such confidence because they know things that we don't know. They know the plans that they have. They know the strategies that they have designed to crush us. And when they lose battles, they probably just can't believe it. And they're like, okay, well, that's all right. We got the rest of them. And they're very confident because they've planned very thoroughly, and they have everybody in their pocket. They cut it off sealed. The deal is sealed. You know, Bob Corker was the one that it was interviewed and said this was even way before the election when somebody was asking him, well, what are you going to do about these Tea Party people? You know, they're going to ruin everything. Aren't they going to – you guys are trying to be moderate, and they're trying to get these Tea Party people in and try to get rid of Obamacare and all that, and they want to do this and that. And mainly the focus was on getting rid of Obamacare. And Bob Corker's answer to that was, Mitch McConnell and I have no intention of repealing Obamacare. It's a done deal.
Yeah.
That's what we're fighting.
Yep. And supposedly the opposition party.
Yeah.
And yet these folks can win their primaries. But I hate to say it, but we only got 11 minutes left, even of the extended period, maybe even less than 10. So let's go ahead and do some closing comments, and then I'll have to unfortunately shut down the rest of the show and do a little promo for this Wednesday. So we'll go ahead and leave it to you, Sadie, and then Kelly, and then I'll go ahead and close some things out. So go ahead.
Me first, you said? You want me to go first, Robert? You want me to go first?
Well,
earlier, Robert, you had said that you got in trouble because you told the truth and you presented all the conservative viewpoints. Your show was not a Republican show. It was a conservative show. And you allowed the viewpoint of the Constitution Party and the Libertarian Party and just anybody who could call themselves a conservative, okay? And this is the same people now that love Sean Hannity. He's not a Republican. They love Glenn Beck. He's not a Republican. So I don't know why they were coming down on you for presenting, you know, the conservative viewpoint and interviewing conservative candidates. But basically, the RINOs are just as
Hello, Cindy?
I think she was saying the RINOs are just as complicit.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looks like they might have missed her. If you want to chime in real quick, Cindy, if not, if you're not able to, thank you very much for coming to the show. I'm really happy we're able to bring you back. I can't talk. Bring you on. So I will see you on Wednesday. But if you come back, just let us know you're okay. And then I'll text you later to make sure that you are if we don't hear from you by the close out of the show. Go ahead, Kelly.
Well, yeah, we were talking again about principles. And the Republicans have their laurels and the Democrats have their hardies. yeah, I 10 years ago I left the Republican Party. You know, I had enough, and we had Wally Herger, and thank God he got old because he had to basically just say, okay, I'm done being a congressman for how many decades, I don't know, but I remember one, when the Tea Party was going really strong, I remember a radio ad that he did. He's like, oh, yeah, I love the Tea Party. Oh, I love the Constitution and fiscal responsibility. Baloney. I heard it on the radio, and I'm just like, I said some obscenity. He's like, oh, ball, beep, beep, and swear word, beep. He voted for the bank bailout. Didn't really, wasn't interested in auditing the Federal Reserve. He voted for the Patriot Act. He was not Tea Party. But he was like, oh, I like the Tea Party. No, you dummy. You like our votes. And I'm tired of this. And so we got LaMalta in after Herger retired, and he's doing all right, except one little faux pas that I really don't want to get into. I hope the Tea Party and the more constitutionally minded people win in this battle against the establishment within the Republican Party. And I hope that true principles come in that are not of Laurel or Hardy character. And hopefully we'll get things better. I think what they did today in D.C., especially the youth, if they're getting it figured out, something's wrong, where do we turn to, what should we be learning? And boom, they're getting on it. They're getting on it quick. So I think we might be in for some good changes over the next several years. So, you know, yeah, repeal Obamacare. How about repeal Obama?
There you go.
But that's kind of my thoughts for the day. And glad you did this.
No, I'm it was great to have you come on, Kelly. It's great being able to talk to you and you be a part of this with us today. And hopefully we'll have more conversations on it, especially we will be discussing the happenings at Washington, D.C. for the Operation American Spring the first weekend. So if folks want to hear about that, come again and join us Wednesday, the 21st at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and give us a call at 347-945-7428 to be a part of the roundtable discussion. And that's what we'll be talking about this Wednesday. So come and join us. And then, of course, we're going to have some other candidates coming on, I'm sure, in the next couple of weeks. I'm also working on to have an ex-congressman on, kind of a controversial figure, We're looking at, I won't say who, but we're looking at having him on as well. Maybe not this week, perhaps next week. And so we'll also be coming up soon. We'll hear about some of the affiliates for Bard's Logic Political Talk, and I'll also have that available on the website, which is www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. And so also check things out on the Patriot Journalist Network by going to www.patriotjournalist.com. So thanks again, everyone. I'm looking forward to seeing you again on Wednesday. And so I shall end this show, as I do on the night show, with the song by Aubrey Ashburn. And you can hear more of her music by going to www.aubreyashburn.com. So have a great rest of the weekend, folks, and we will see you then. Good afternoon, and take care.